Blog Talk Radio.
No, I think I probably seen Prince, but not Michael Jackson.
Love and you, girl. Fire and desire. appreciate your resistance, shawty. I wouldn't fuck with me even. All of me, that is. Let's go.
Hey, girl, I like what you got on. How about you take it off? It's just you and me, don't be shy. Baby, show me what you're working with. Damn, you're so fine. I've never seen a body so divine. What you waiting on? Come and get it. Baby, I just want a little bit. Better yet, take on. Baby, I think you're mistaken. Cause you're over there, I'm over here. Now you're looking scared. Watch it disappear. Told you I'ma come correct. And I ain't even break a sweat. Girl, I ain't even finished yet. Can you take off?
Love, she need, but a brother really just can't give in. But that's it, what she bring, got me thinking I can reconsider. Got me thinking she can be my missus. Got me thinking that I need to stop tripping. Smoke and talk about our pain. Drink it till we end our feelings. What's rough for is I like her when I like her. She just like the fact cause that like facts. I can't fight back, but she loves more.
She loves more.
And she loves hard when she does so when I'm on and off. Cause the last time I said the last time to my old flame was a false alarm. I know, I'm not the best. I'm monogamy, but be an optimist and let God protect. As far as having you, give me half of you. You can have the rest.
You can have the rest.
No promises. Believe it's all just game, girl. Cause if I go inside that, I bet
can
you go insane, girl.
Go?
Young Goldie.
So I'ma give it all.
Would like to show gratitude to you, the listener, for tuning in to Playboy Diaries.
So I'ma give it all.
Yeah. I'm your narrator. DJ Screen signing out until next time.
See, I got old top down. You, shawty. Just you.
So I'ma give it all.
And we out of here.
Honestly, honestly, I'm trying to stay focused. You must think I got to be joking when I say I don't think I can wait. I just need it out. Let it swing my way. I just need something. I just need some love. Tired of fucking with these lying niggas, baby. I just need a thug. Won't you be my plug, ayy? You could be the one, ayy. Can start with a handshake, baby. I'ma need more than a hug. Girls can never say they want it. Girls can't never say how. Girls can't never. the city need it. Girls can't never say nah. Girls can't never say they want it. Girls can't never say how. Girls can't never say they need it. Girls can't never say nah. Oh nah, so give it to me like you need it, baby. Want you to hear me screaming every breath, and I don't need a reason, baby. I want it till you can't fight.
to go and post a pic. Don't even have to stop seeing other men. Just listen up when I start to talk. It's good enough. I don't want your body, even though I think about it. It's your mind. The things I do, the things I do, the things I hate, and all the girls I screw.
Good evening. Welcome to another installment of War Council here on Epiphany Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network. War Council is an egalitarian concert panel of creators discuss relationships, culture, community issues, and relationships. We're here for a good time, not a long time, but we're going to make sure that we make the most of the time that we're here. Understand that this is a fantastic panel of incredible people here, kicking it with you, making sure these things are happening. Now, in the background, that is Juicy Fruit by the great James Ntume, who just recently passed. As you know, this song has been a backdrop for many, many hits. Not just itself, which is still a classic, which exists beyond that, but more importantly, everything that you love about hip-hop, especially, specifically Biggie. This song has been incredible. And Timmy was an incredible drummer, percussionist. You know, he had played with so many different people. So I think it's only right that we start the show out with him. Rest in peace to Ntume for making the most incredible music that we enjoy to this day. But as we get on to our topic of tonight, understand tonight's topic is a good one. We're going to talk about a few other things too. But we want to know, is sex your love language? Is sex your love language? Now, that being said, I'm just open up these lines, throw these people up in here because they're good people you need to have. And we're going to have people coming and joining us. And understand, and don't forget that this is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average and you could be law? Actually, I believe there's a poet bracelet out there made of particular materials that you might want to get your hands on because it's pretty dope. So when you get a chance, make sure that you come through, check out what we got popping. Now, let's open these lines up. Now, one half of the Love Zone, one quarter of the Soul Cafe, one half of Poetic Therapy, but all the way live, all the way dope, and super fresh, my favorite Philly John, the Pearl of Negra, a.k.a. Danielle Chaney. I'm opening up her mic.
Hey, what's up,
hey,
hey, everybody?
Hey, what's happening? What's going on? What's kicking? Ready to get into it today? All right.
Absolutely.
I'm glad to hear you. Absolutely. All right. So hold on. We're gonna go from here to a person who personally made me cry yesterday. I don't know if I'm gonna forgive her for making me cry for saying such emotional, and touching things to me. You know, like I was sitting there, like I cried like a baby last night. You don't even understand. She's like, you don't understand. And I was like, yo, Lisa really got to me. I was like, shit. But let's bring from the great state of Virginia. Let's bring in Lisa Lips. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, baby. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
How are you doing?
I ain't mean to make you cry, but I love you.
Yeah, I know, but I was crying like a baby last night. It was bad. I was like, there's like this.
It was the ugly cry.
It was the ugly cry. It was the real ugly cry. It was super ugly. So
every
ugly,
now and
I have
cry
to see. I was like, Beach City was like, take that shit, Mojave, take it. You need to get these goddamn flowers, Mojave. You be running from this shit. You need to know how important you are. And I was like, oh fuck. That was crazy. I was like, y'all need to go. I was killing. Lisa killed me. AJ killed me. I said, y'all just coming up and just beating a dead horse right now. Horse was dead. All right. So from y'all, we're gonna go to if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Fuck what you talking about. fuck what you talking about. I don't give a shit. It is what it is, and it is as it always was. The Texas Titan herself, Quenita Ramel White, and Kay Jones, in the building.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, good evening. Happy New Year. Is it too many days in to say Happy New Year? This is my first time talking.
No,
it's
not.
You can say Happy New Year all year if you want.
You can say it all year. We can say it all year. All right, let me go over here. I'm going to go over here and get my best friend, Mr. you like, you know you feel shit, right? Mister, oh, you know you feel shit. Son, you feel shit, son. Son, you feel shit.
Oh.
Dawood, are you there?
You know, everybody got all that beautiful stuff, and I got you, Mr. Full of Shit. You know what I mean?
No, no, no. I'm not saying you're full of shit. I'm saying you be calling me on my shit.
Everybody else got crying and emotions and all this other stuff, and all I got was a Mr. Full of Shit.
Yeah, no, I didn't say. Listen, don't contradict me. I said you be calling
like
me
Big
on my
Daddy Kane right now.
Nah, you're not Big Daddy Kane. Matter of fact, I was gonna say, Mister, let me show you this. My spidey senses is tingling.
Yep. No, you're gonna get that.
Yeah. Matter of fact, the funny thing, he be waiting for me to mess up, and then he was like, didn't I tell you? I was like, yeah, you're right.
Well, he was, and I'd be like, check your messenger.
Yo, like,
check your messenger.
Like,
it's a picture of Spider-Man with his senses going off.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
Taurus is love danger.
Yo, the funny thing, as soon as he sees the bullshit, he sends me that picture. He goes, check your messenger. I'm like, blah blah blah. He's like, go check your messenger.
Yeah, you can't get away from that.
I can't.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right. Wait a second. Let's see. Let's check this out. Oh, this is Wendell. Wendell.
Yes, sir.
Ah. The voice of reason. The voice of Mr. Eloquent. I'm like, yo.
Peace to the family.
I don't see what happens. Wait a second. We got one more call in here. I don't know the number. Let me see. Hold on. Let me check. Area code 609. Who master speaking? Area code 609. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello? Who's 609? Who's this?
Hey, what's up? Paul Sampson.
Hey,
Paul.
Divine Inspiration,
hey.
Sitting in with us, man. What? What?
Hey. It's a hassle.
For a workout for sure? Pastor Slinky. Pastor Slinky. Pastor Slinky.
Yo. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so listen, Paul, I'm just going to warn you now. Mm-hmm. All right, make sure you keep your hand on your Bible. We're going to say some things tonight.
This ain't my first rodeo with some shows that say some things.
I just want you to know.
I've said some things, too, in my day.
Listen, I understand. But, you know, I just want to make sure that you know.
You just want to give that disclaimer, huh?
I want to give the disclaimer so you don't be like, okay, hold on for a second. This is not, you know, but we're just going to make sure everything is good. We're going to get you right. You're going to be all right. We're going to get you right. Don't worry about it. All right, so what we're going to do, talk about now I got the good peoples in the building. Understand that these are incredibly dope folks. Hold on, I think Ms. Gordon came in. Hold on for a second, let me check. Tanya Gordon, is this you? Area code 803.
Mojave, it's me. I'm listening.
Oh, I didn't know it was you. You want me to put you in the queue, or you want to stay on?
Oh no, just put me in the queue because I'm not going to be able to. I will cut off and drop mid conversation.
All right, I got you. All right, I'm gonna put you in the queue. Just let me know. Hit me back channel if you want to talk. All right.
All right. Okay.
All right. All right, so here we go. Wait, hold on. Got another person. Hold on. Area code 484, who master speaking?
Yes, this is Blaze.
What up? What's going on there?
What's up, bro? Not, man.
What's
how you feeling?
How are you feeling? That's the better question.
Better, I guess.
All right, well, listen, man. You gotta stop getting sick, bro. We gonna start that. But all right, so this is what we do. We're gonna start the topic and then I'm gonna bring you back in, all right? Who?
Yeah, I'm not sick. It's just not a family problem, but I'm not sick.
All right, now we go. All right, so we're gonna start the topic. We're gonna bring you back in. We're gonna rock. All right, stay frosty. All right.
Okay. Yep.
All right, hold on. All right, so good people of War Council, good to see you. Happy New Year. Welcome back. Our first War Council back. Everybody's here. How's everybody feeling? Let me check in with everybody. How's everybody feeling?
Good. Wonderful. Good.
Good.
All right, it's been a season. It's been a season. Let's not waste no more time. It's 9:30. We actually 2 minutes past the hour. So let's just dive into it. You know, we all know what love languages is, you know, and, you know, love language is predicated on the things that speak love to us, you know. So I'm just pulling this up right now. What the basic love language list is, because I had it, but I had to close it. So... the five love languages are, you know, basically words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, receiving gifts. You know, word of affirmation, expressing affection through spoken words, praise or appreciation, quality time, expressing undivided attention, making sure that you're making eye attack, affirming what they're saying, refrain from offering advice, physical touch, holding hands, touching arms, giving a massage, acts of service, person feeling loved and appreciated when somebody does things for them, like doing dishes, running errands, vacuuming, putting gas in their car, receiving gifts, basically giving gifts to a person. And basically it doesn't have to necessarily be large or expensive, but it's something that appeals to them, especially if you take the time to pick out for them. Now, War Council, I ask you, right? We know what these five languages is. We're all familiar with it. Is anybody not familiar with the five love languages? Okay. Nobody said nothing? Okay, I understand everybody is familiar. All right. So, and speaking of which, one of the things that kept coming up constantly is that some people are like, you know, physical touch. Physical touch is like, you know, you can have sex, and sex is like a love language. And so I ask y'all, what counsel is sex a love language? Can it be constituted
it
as a love language? You know?
Yeah.
So anybody can hop in. Give me, I'm going to just round and do everybody's opinion, and then I'm going to bring Blaze in, and then we're going to go from that. So do you want to go top and bottom, or? Yeah, let's just go back and forth. So Danielle, how do you equate it as a love language? Please explain.
It's the kind of sex that you're having. It doesn't necessarily have to be intercourse to be considered sex. It could be just a simple way that they touch you, kiss you, caress you, hold you, talk to you. All of that, I consider that to be part of the sex thing. So, yeah, it can be considered a love language.
Kissing, caressing. I don't know if that sounds like sex. That sounds like intimacy. I don't know. Well,
no,
I'll hold that thought.
No,
finish your thought.
No. I mean, that's what I consider it to be. The intercourse, I mean, that's part of the physical part, act, but there's a lot that goes along with having sex. So I consider every part of it.
All right, so hold on. You consider it part of having sex. Now, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. What'd you say, Wendell?
I would just say that sex is an expression of love language. And depending on the persons involved, it can actually be an expression of all five. But the act in and of itself, I would not say could be classified as a love language. Within sex, there's obviously physical touch. There can be, you know, quality time. Depending on what type of sex you're having or whatnot, there can be giving of gifts. Definitely words of affirmation. You know, and Let's see, what was the last one? Giving gifts, quality time, physical touch. I'm sorry?
Acts of service.
Oh, yeah, and acts of service, exactly. So the actual act of sex, because I believe that if people are trying to quantify sex as its own love language, it would have to be something a little bit less nebulous than, you know, just an energetic exchange. I think when people are talking about sex, they're talking about intercourse. And to say that intercourse would be its own love language, I wouldn't have to say it, that intercourse is just an expression of a combination of the other love languages.
Okay. All right, so Lisa Lips, I had you next on the docket. What's your opinion?
I kind of agree with whatever's been said already. Intimacy is the love language for me. It's the holding and the touching and the quiet conversation. The spending time really just being with each other and enjoying each other. The actual act of intercourse that is not necessarily a love language. It depends on where you are with the person that you're with. If you are with someone you've been with for a while and you have that physical relationship, then yeah, it can be part of a love language. But if it's someone new that you're not ready to go there with and it leads to that and you're not comfortable with it, then no, it's a love language. It's all about, you know, where you stand with each other.
Mm-hmm. All right, so going from you, let's go on over to, because Wendell, you answered, so I'm going to go over here to Joan. So, Joan, what's your opinion on it? Is sex a love language?
For me, sex is a love language because I'm very in tune with how sex makes me feel. And so there are people, and let me say it like this, there are people that I have had sex with, and then there are people that I absolutely have adored from the moment that I laid eyes on them, and I loved them in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest way to take away someone's love for themselves is to violate them sexually, right? So if that violation of sex can remove love, why is it something that can't interject love?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Ooh. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to go over to Dawood. Dawood, is sex a love language?
Huh. Okay, so is sex a love language? I don't think so. No, I think that if you look at the way the five love languages are constituted, I don't think sex is a love language. I think it's a byproduct of love languages. So in other words, like if you like physical touch, if you like words of affirmation, physical touch and words of affirmation can lead to sex. But it's not necessarily a love language itself because I think that when you're talking about a language, I always say this to people when we're talking about like in the Black Power world, I think people think in a language. And the language that they think in is predicated on what they do for a living and their experiences. So if you're going to say that sex is a love language, I don't think that that's necessarily true because I don't think we think in the language of sex. I think that touching somebody, doing acts of service for them, these kind of things inspire you to want to have sex with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Beyond your initial contact with somebody and learning them, as you build a bond with them, if I do an act for you and you love the act that I did, you may want to have sex with me. If you touch me in a certain way, I may want to have sex with you. If you say certain things to me that touch my soul, I may want to have sex with you. But the sex with you, but the love itself comes from the the way the language were expressed, and it's not necessarily the act of sex. I will say this, and I think it's the beautiful sister Danielle that said this a couple of minutes ago. I think that a lot of people, like, divorce themselves from the idea of kissing because kissing is very, very intimate. And what you find out is that because there's so many dudes out there that, you know, and this is specifically dudes, but this, somebody's dog disagrees with us. Anyway. Somebody's
dog. Dog in the background.
Thank you.
No worries about it.
Anyway.
Okay, finish your thought.
He decided to bark when I was talking. Anyway, basically what I'm saying is that I think people kind of, they don't want to kiss because kissing is so intimate. You know what I'm saying? And so what I find is there's a lot of dudes that I know who are like a street dudes or whatever, and they absolutely positively will not kiss. And they have said to me on many occasions that, you know, you're a sucker for kissing. And the reason being is that they know that kissing is a bond that's deeper than anything that you can do. It's really, like, if you sit there and you kiss somebody for a half an hour, that's a bond that, to me, is deeper than just having sex with somebody. Because it's a, you know, you have passion, you have desire, but you're just kissing and you're not releasing it. And it allows y'all to connect on a different level. So I really believe that a lot of people shy away from this. And you would be very surprised how many people is not about their kissing life. It's a lot.
All right. So, Paul Sampson, since you're sitting in this evening, I'm going to ask you the same question, Pastor Slinky. Is sex a love language?
No. I think, well, personally for me, there's two sides to it. One is the lust language, and the other is the love language. Ugh. And I think the love language is comprised of some of the lust language. But sex itself, no. Like your brother was saying earlier, it's a byproduct of it. You know, the intimacy, the caring, the surrender to your partner, the object of your love, is the love language.
100%.
Sex is not a language. It's the result of that language, I think.
100%. I agree. Bobby, you on mute? Or did you drop?
No, I didn't drop. I had to go get Angel Kim.
Oh.
I had to go get Angel. So
did you hear what the good brother said?
I heard most of it, and then I had to get Angel in. So that's why I dropped off real quick. So could you give me a synopsis, please?
Yeah. Sex is a portion of the love language, but it's the, like I said, it's separated, lust and love. Lust being a part of the love language, like Brother said earlier, it's a byproduct. So sex is the result of the love language, which could be the intimacy, the surrender, and all of those powerful things that go into forming a love.
Okay, that's what's up. That's absolutely what's up. Blaze, let me ask you this question. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
So is sex a love language?
To me, sex is selfish in so many different ways. Because you both can want it and only want it for a certain reason. Maybe you haven't had it in a long time, or maybe you just feel you want to feel the need of the person who has been keeping it from you. You know, it can be selfish. It can be, you know, like a togetherness type thing. You know, you both want it because you feel like you both need to have some kind of agreement about, you know, both of you needing each other at the same time because of something that happened in the past, to me, it's not a love language. It's just a need or necessity or a want, a desire, and most of the time it always falls right into selfishness because it's just what you want for whatever you want it for at that point in time. So, no, sex is not a love language to me. Intimacy in another language is like I'm allowing you to see into myself, so into me see what it is that I'm trying to give to you and what it is I'm trying to express to you. So I want you to get a deeper understanding on who I am for you, and I want to get a deeper understanding on who you are for me. And so into me see it, the intimacy is like a love language to me because it's driving deeper into who you both are and what you both want and what you both desire and what you're both trying to express or, you know, that type of thing. And so intimacy to me is more of a love language than sex could ever be.
Alright, so Angel Kim, you're here in the building. Everybody say hi, Angel Kim. She's back. I got it.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
Hello.
So Angel Kim, since we went, I had to go get you. You here, is sex a love language?
Is sex a love language? It's not a love language, but the intimacy part of it can be, because it's all about the intimacy with one another. But sex itself, by itself, no.
No word.
Because you can have sex with random people and then never meet a damn thing.
Okay. So the one thing I'm starting to notice is that mostly everybody's talking about, you know, it can be, but it's a combination of, or it's an intimacy thing that happens. You know, mm-hmm. You know, if I was being
I feel like I'm the only person. I feel like I'm the only person in the world who has experienced intimate sex with a virtual stranger. I mean, Jesus. I wonder what I was doing. Oh, my God.
No, you aren't. No, you aren't.
Oh, you on a whole nother
level. No, you aren't.
No, I mean, it can happen.
I promise you, you're not the only one.
I think people have had sex. I think everybody in here has had sex sometimes with a stranger. I don't know if it is, you know, love.
I didn't say sex. I said intimacy. With a stranger. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. Everybody keeps highlighting, well, there's a certain amount of intimacy. There's a certain amount of kissing and touching and blah, blah, blah. But I'm saying with a virtual stranger. Like, I really just met him and I loved him. And that was all.
Oh, so love at first sight.
Stroke.
Wait, did you get him the panty draws? Did he get the panty draws?
He said love at first stroke.
You got to ask that question. Like, intimacy. What happened? No, say that again,
love
please.
At first stroke.
Love at first stroke. I'm dead.
That's a whole prompt. I'm going to use that.
Yo, wait a minute. Yo, I ain't go front. That happened to me before. Why lie? I can't lie. I had a love at first stroke too. I was like, I love you.
You always wanted to go with me. Listen, I promise.
I love you. I'ma just keep going. The more I go, the more I love. No, I'm just, yo, that's real though. Now you have intimacy with a stranger. If you love a person from first sight, I mean, that can actually happen. I mean, it's not foreign. We engage at all different levels of everything that would happen. You know, some people can love multiple people.
That can be polyamory. There's a bunch of things that can happen where people can find love in the different ways that they do, you know, especially with intimacy. We seem to, the basis of this seems to be intimacy, what we're talking about. But, you know, if I'm being real, love at first stroke, which brings me to this. You'd be like, you know, oh, yeah, yeah. You'd be like, oh, love, sex is my love language. Okay, I got you. Use the five love languages to explain sex as love. So as words of affirmation, I love it when you give me sex. Quality time, hey, let's have more sex. Physical touch, can you give me some head? Or do you need some head? Can you touch? Can I rub? Can we do this? How about over here? Let's do it there. Okay. Acts of service. I'm giving you this D.
Receiving
gifts. Thank you for giving me some tea. It's great. That's how it works. That's just me. But I'm just saying, but for any other love languages with that, So here's a general question. Have you ever had sex with someone and out of that sex it'd be like, right, it'd be immediate, like you didn't wait, like it happened immediately and you were automatically into a relationship or something with that particular person?
Yep. And it lasted for a little while, too.
For real, anybody else?
Yeah, I've been there too.
So you,
it lasted almost a year.
So
I've fucked my way into a situation.
Can you repeat that?
Myself into a relationship.
He said he fucked his way into a situation.
Okay, it happens.
And
so what happened?
And when you're in the situation, it feels like a relationship, but that's just because you're high on those brain chemicals. But when you actually come down off the high and you actually start evaluating this according to relationship criteria, it's like, no, this ain't quite what I want. This is a situation that I don't want to be in. Yeah. Or it could be that it was a relationship that was for a season, and that season was very short-lived.
Okay.
I believe in the latter of that statement. I believe that sometimes, because of our own desires to perceive ourselves as a certain way, we dare not enter into certain type of relationships with individuals. Like when we initially meet them, they don't meet the standard or qualifications, but they're still something that we want to do, right? And so what we tell ourselves is that we're not going to be as intimate with this person. We're not going to give as much time to this person. We're not going to devote as many resources to this person because they aren't who we necessarily want to be with, or they're not who we want the world to see us with. But for all intents and purposes, y'all are in a relationship and y'all are calling it a situationship because it doesn't meet a certain standard that you have in your mind, but you really running up on him and her and each other like y'all in this thing for real, and y'all are doing for real stuff. Y'all going out on real dates. Y'all are really meeting each other's friends and families and all of this, but it allows you to have the persona of being someone who is unattached. And so our own desire to be selfish keeps us in that place of calling it a situationship because we don't want to own the responsibility of the other person in a full-blown relationship. So it keeps us safe.
Okay.
Well, safety can be the order of the day. That can happen. Anyone else? Matter of fact, let me go to Pastor Slinky. Pastor Slinky, what do you think? What's your thoughts?
Run the question by me again, please, sir. I'm multitasking.
Are you at work, Paul?
Probably.
Actually, no. I'm home. That's even worse.
I know. Can you sit still, Pastor Slinky, for 1 minute? Just sit still
no,
for 1 minute.
No, we can't.
he cannot.
I know he
can.
Right,
sorry,
I'm going to see if
he can. I could do it. I could do
it. It's impossible. All right. Can't prove it by me.
I'm sorry. For everybody who doesn't know, Pastor Slinky is divine inspiration, who runs the Inspiration Factory here on Sundays, and he never sits still. We call him Pastor Slinky because at his seasoned age, he can still do backhand springs. That's why we call him Slinky.
Well, I retired from them because I'm scared I'm gonna break my old neck. I don't bounce back like I used to. I'm through, but I got bragging rights. I did it into my 60s.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So, so have Pastor Slinky. So, have you ever had a one night stand or immediate sex that led to a relationship?
Yeah, two of them. One that actually ended up lasting 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a random coming together and. Coming together.
That's what we call it. Did y'all come together or did y'all come together?
That's what y'all doing.
Right.
All of the above.
Under me.
Yes, man, what we had was coming together because we were coming together.
And we couldn't stop coming.
8 years later.
That's a lot of coming together, Paul. Oh. That's a lot of Paul. All right. All right, so.
I was a lot younger then and had a little bit more stamina. Still very, very, very
You better
good
tell
friend.
The truth.
I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm going to behave myself. I don't want y'all to get the real view of my past. Not just yet.
Nah, it's okay, Pastor Slinky. But we gonna loop back around. I'm gonna go to Dawood and Lips, and then Blaze. So, Dawood.
Yo.
Yes, sir.
Have you had an interaction that led, you know, a immediate sex, one night stand, whatever, what have you, quick interaction that led to a relationship?
No, sir. Any relationship I got into, I intentionally wanted to get into. I never had no one-night stand. I was like, oh, shit, let's do this. Never did that. And I'm not saying that makes me morally better in any way, shape, or form, but I just never did that. Anytime I had a one-night stand, it was a one-night stand. I may have wanted more, but I didn't want more other than the sex itself. I didn't, you know... I'm a firm believer that you know the kind of person that you want to be in a relationship with. And I've never really found a situation where I met somebody spontaneously and after that we decided to get into a relationship because I just think that's too risky for me. But you got to remember, I've always been, in my adult life, I've always been in a position and had a reputation. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've always been very careful of what a one-night stand looked like for me. Not that I'm not in that situation anymore. It's probably possible now, but definitely not in the past.
Hmm. Okay. Lips, what about you?
I have had a situation like that some while ago. Somebody I met and we spent the first night together and then we saw each other for almost a year after that. But... there was a logistics issue because he lived out of town and he wanted me to move and I didn't want to move. And so that's kind of what tore us apart.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's very tough.
Long distance stuff is reckless. Matter of fact, speaking of long distance, let's get into that. Matter of fact, let me finish up with Angel Kim to ask her. Angel Kim, have you ever had a spontaneous or instant sex type relationship that led to a long term relationship?
I mean, it turned into a sex relationship. I mean, it lasted for about 10 plus years, but we weren't together. But we did fool around for that long.
Okay.
But yeah, we just couldn't get enough of each other, so yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, can happen. So
I do have a friend now. I do have a girlfriend who met a guy at a club, took him home with her that first night, and he never left. They've been together now almost 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm not
saying the same.
Yeah.
Wait, she pulled the sunshine on
him. She met him out drinking one night, out with her friends. She met him out drinking one night, and she took him home with her, and he never left. He honestly never left her house. He's been with her ever since.
I need to find out what kind of trust building she been in her life. My trust level is not that high.
She hit old boy. That sounds like something straight out of Love Jones.
He did some hella licking. Sticking in
the
I hit him with the boom boom, Santeria, the yoga, all of
that. Yeah, they were both in their 20s at the time. They're both in their 50s now.
That's crazy. So so speaking of which, we're gonna do this two ways. First way, because okay, have you ever had sex with someone, right? And the sex was whack, but you couldn't get rid of them. Like you just like I can't get rid. And they just kept coming back. Like it was the best thing. And you were like, no, you're whack. You gotta go away. Stop. You're stalking me. Go. Has that ever happened to you?
Hell no. Anyway. No, they got the boot. If it was whack, they did not stack. They got the boot. I'm sorry. Bye. Nope. No. Bye. Don't even breathe in my direction. Nope. Don't call me. Bye. No. No. Nope.
So you never had like one time it was whack and he was like, let me try it again, and he was like, oh, it's super whack.
matter of fact, how me and you were talking about that earlier. I tried once more after that first time. After that second time, no, it was even worse because the effect was instant. Okay, after that second time, that effect was I'm sorry. Just stop. Get up. Bye. Go. I'm gone. Grab my keys and I'm gone. Don't follow me either. Okay.
So if you had an unfuck button, would you use it?
You damn right I'd use it. Without a bat and a laugh, I'm trying to tell you.
Imagine you can walk around with an unfuck button, and you can get your body hit. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna unfuck these five people so I can get my body count back.
Yeah, man, bro.
I'm trying to tell you.
Posting that clarity is a motherfucker, man.
I'm trying to tell you.
Post that clarity. Yo. The shit we be saying. Post
some real
post
shit.
That That's a real thing, though. Wait. I got to ask the fellas, have y'all ever had post nut clarity? I know I have. I've had some post nut clarity. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? You're like, what am I doing? How did I get here?
Man, it's a part of the process, man. It's like after you get that, you know, after you had that nut, then you begin to evaluate if the return was worth the investment, man.
I need an ROI of my post net.
Let me leave dissatisfied. It's a wrap. I'm sorry.
Let me go to Blaze. Blaze, have you ever had post net clarity? He was like, I should have did this. This was bad. I don't know what was happening.
Say that again?
You ever had post-nut clarity? Like you busted that, you got in, it was whack, you busted, and then you had to consider what was happening.
No. No, because I don't deal with nobody. I think if I'm unattracted to you, and in any way you stink, you sound retarded, you look deformed, any of that, no, I'm not even going to put myself in a position to even feel like, damn, what the fuck did I just do? I'm not even going to put myself in that position. So, nope, nope, not me.
Wow. He's like, I'm not even putting myself in the
let,
come
let
on now.
You
I know you had everybody said a
whack
shot one time.
No.
Never.
No.
You never had a whack shot. You're a lucky
a
man. I'm trying to tell you that. Lucky.
Oh, hold on. Let me
I'm,
ask,
I'm
let
saying.
Me go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. I never put myself in a position to be with somebody that, like, I think shit through before I do anything. And so if I already know that either I'm unattracted to you in any way, then I'm not going to lay down with you to be like, oh, yeah, I thought she was unattractive. Yeah, or I thought her pussy stink. Or I'm not putting myself in that position. Because so you take your pants down, you can smell
bro.
What's going on in, under the pants. Or under the dress.
Not
under
necessarily.
No, bro. I think y'all are misconstruing the ramifications
exactly.
of ultimate clarity.
You don't know if that shot is going to be whack until you've had it. That's what I'm saying. You can't
exactly.
judge just
she
because
can
you have
all
this
the
chemistry
criteria,
with
man.
Somebody, okay? Regardless of what the smell or whatever, you don't know whether that shot is just going to be trash or not. Some people just cannot fuck. I'm sorry. And if you don't know that until afterwards, and you'd be like, you know what? Oh my God, that was the never again. You can't say that
you know
ahead
of
time.
In that matter, no, I've never had that either. Because everybody I've done something with, it always led to more and more and more because either I was good to them or they was good to me or we were both good to each other. So I've never had that before. So if that's the case, no.
So the sex was
just
awesome every time. It was just worthy every time. All right, I'm not going to go any further. Okay.
I'm
say it with your chest. Matter of fact, Wendell, could you give the explanation? And then I'm going to loop around and ask Paul and go to Angel and Lips.
Yeah. What post-nut clarity does is it allows you to take a almost instantly evaluate if what you did to get to this point was worth what you got after having been in the point. So the person could be completely beautiful, wonderful. Y'all click on all different kinds of levels. And, you know, when you're actually in the act of intimacy, you know, you discover that, man, it's like you over here, you know, fucking a dry paper bag. It's not... You know, it doesn't take away from the qualities of the person that would be otherwise redeemable. It's just that particular act was less than stellar.
I'm sorry.
V8. So,
I'm sorry. I definitely got to take that back. I just thought about one person. And, yeah. I'm sorry. I had to take that. Yeah.
Right. See, we've all experienced it. You know,
yeah.
And whether
okay.
we want to call it regret or anything like that, you know, you have an opportunity to say, you know what, if I have the opportunity to do this again, I decline.
You know? Yeah. I one person all my life. One person, yes. Yeah. It took me a little while to figure it out, but yeah, one person.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, As a matter of fact, so let me go to Pastor Slinky. Have you had sex with someone and you regretted it and you was like, I'm never doing this again? Paul, you there? I'm not looking at the screen, that's why. All right, so let me just go to Angel Kim. How about you, Angel Kim?
Yes, I have definitely had some clarity after coming and wondered what the hell did I just do and why. But and the sad part is I made my own show club. He didn't do it. And it was just like I made it happen so that he could stop trying to do it because it was not working. He otherwise would have been, I'm not going to say perfect, but doable. But the moment he took his clothes off, I knew it wasn't going to be what it was. It's like, okay. And he bent me over, called himself going to hit it from the back. And I laughed. I said, you sure you want to try that? And he was like, yeah, I got this. I was like, Lord, this is not going to go well. And about four pumps in, he nutted, and I was going, and he was talking about, this is the best pussy ever. And I'm sitting up there thinking to myself, you never made it to the pussy. What the hell did you mean? Didn't get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
I literally just used my fingers and made myself come to make him be, me come, and I was too done.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, wait a second. So let me go to Lips to Joe because I know. All right, so Lips. Lips, have you been in that situation?
I have been in that situation. Actually, I have been in a situation that in the midst of it, I was like, what the hell did I just do? Even before it was finished, I was like, why am I even here? And just let this be over so I can get the hell out of here.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
Joan. What about you?
Yeah, I've never experienced post-nut clarity because I knew that I was not going to have an orgasm there. It was just not going to be for me. I was not going to use nothing. Like, if it's not working, it's just not working, sir. And that's it. Like, I'm not that person. Like, I'm not going to stay there. And that's not no, you know, shade or whatever. Like, I'm just like, I'm not enjoying this. It's not, like, if something is meant for us, then it should be enjoyable for both of us. And at the point it's not enjoyable for me, that means us is not enjoying it. So we don't stop. And so I think for women, you know, just because of anatomy, right, we know that we're not enjoying it much sooner than he discovered it was not that enjoyable.
Jeez.
Like, that's just the way our bodies are made.
Yeesh. All right.
Yeah.
So, on the flip side, have you ever been with an unlikely partner? Somebody who was the complete opposite,
yeah.
Somebody you never suspected. Someone you was like, oh, this is going to be some bullshit. And they turned out to be one of the best lovers you ever had. You was like, oh, goddamn, look at this. Oh, shit. You know, for me, I know that there was a person, I considered her a cookie. She was like an urban bohemian person. I didn't know she had a body. She was always covered up. She always looked like a bag lady. Like, bag lady, you go hurt your back. That's how I felt whenever I see it, you know, because I knew her from undergrad. And so, and you know, and the funny thing was, like, in undergrad, she had, like, an afro. Like, she had one of the original afros in undergrad. Like, I was just like, you know, so I was like, oh, you weird. I see you weird. I know we in a natural state, but you weird. And but by the time I met her, she had locks. And, you know, the funny thing, she was always wearing, like half wraps and do-rags and stuff to cover her crown, and she's always wearing like big denim skirts and all kinds of stuff. Everything was always covered up. And then the funny thing is she's like, I want to take you out. I was like, sure, take me out, whatever. She's like, I'm going to buy you a drink. I was like, you buy me a drink. And it was just it was the weirdest thing. Like, it was crazy because, like, we were standing in the hallway of my apartment. We stayed in the hallway apartment. She's like,
Cassie's apartment, and I was like, yeah, why not? Like I was like, because I wrote her off. Like, I completely, like, I was just like, okay, whatever. And we stand in the hallway, and she kissed me. And when she kissed me, I was like, oh, nigga, you can kiss. I was like, wait a minute. There might be something to it. And from the kiss, mad stuff happening. And then we ended up in my room. And when she took all that shit off, she had the craziest body I'd ever seen. It was like shit that I fucking watch Pornhub for. I watch Pornhub for it, right? And she was dope. And it was like crazy. Like, it was the craziest sex. And I didn't even see it coming. Had no fucking idea and clue. And I was just like, holy shit, this is, you know, it was like, it was amazing. Like, it was super amazing, like, sex. Like, it was like, you know, because I didn't know. So I know that was like this. We still friends. We cool. But she's like, I'll never come back to you. I was like, damn, this fucked up. Nah, actually, when I was getting divorced, like I was with her, and then somehow I was stupid, and I went back to my ex. Never again. Fuck her. Anyway, anybody else? Anybody else have this experience with someone that you did not, you know, suspect, but they gave you, like, they were so unlikely. Like, you just, they wasn't on your radar. You wasn't thinking about them. You didn't see them coming, you know, and they just ran up on you and just fucked your lights out. So, anybody?
Yeah,
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so y'all can go. Anybody want to go? Just go.
Ain't nobody else saying nothing. I'll tell my story, because this shit fucks me up to this day. So, anyway, me and my boy went by to go to this bar to go shoot some pool. Well, he goes in, and he ran to the bathroom, so I'm watching this dude and his girlfriend, you know, shoot pool. So me and my boy sat back and watched him shoot pool, and so the bae was like, you know, asking her, man, can you show me how to shoot pool? And he wasn't getting up. So I'm like, okay, I ain't even going to say nothing. I'm just watching it, whatever. So she turned to me and asked me, could I come over and help her shoot pool? And I'm like, well, your man's sitting right there. Like, why don't you go say something to your girl, dude? Like, whatever. So long story short, I end up having to show her how to shoot pool. I get behind her, and I'm trying to, like, show her how to stroke the stick. But she want me to be up on her ass. And I'm like, this bitch is thick as hell. And I don't want her man to feel some type of way. Long story short, I end up going home with this chick and found out that they wasn't really together. They were just friends. And I'm talking about, they was thick. She was taller than me and had a fat ass. When she took her clothes off, you know, like when a female take her clothes off and you thinking, well, her body going to drop a little bit because, you know, the tight clothes that she was wearing. This babe body was thick. Even when she took her clothes off, her titties and ass was still sitting in the same spot. Like, yo, I ended up calling my boy because he was trying to crack on her. And he was like, yo, she ain't want me to say nothing to her. She liked you. I ended up taking a picture of the babe and sending it to him after I fucked her. Yo, I'm telling you, this, man, to this day. And the crazy thing was, the next morning, we were on our way. She had to go to church. I had to go to church. And she would drop me back off at home. Come to find out, we go to the same damn church. And she was just becoming a new member at the church. Really fucked me up. So, that's my story.
That's the story. You're sticking to it.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Well, damn.
I've had an unexpected good shot like that, but I only seen him once. I didn't even keep in contact with him, but he just was not on my radar. He was so totally not my type, but it just, we got together and did the grown-up thing, and it was good. It was really good, but I didn't see him anymore after that. I was surprised, because I used to be really superficial, and I'm like,
these dudes look just not working for me, okay, and there's no way. And, man, did he surprise the fuck out of me. It was good, though. Yeah.
Wow.
I can just hear the nostalgia in your voice.
Yeah, it was. If I see him again, yeah, it's on.
That one that you wish you never let get away.
That was pretty much all that it was though. It was facts. I mean, anything else, no. But it might be something more to it if I ever see him again. I don't know, but it definitely can. He can get it again.
Sometimes that's all it is that makes you wish that you never let him get away.
No, not I'm not that shit. No, it's got to be more to it than that. But it was good.
Okay.
I don't regret not seeing him again. I don't have any regrets about that. But if the opportunity arises again, I wouldn't put up a fuss.
You wouldn't have a fuss at all, huh? Okay. All
nah,
right.
I wouldn't put up a fuss. No resistance.
So, Lips, what you got on it?
For me, it was an old coworker, and I was paying no attention to him at all. Other people were telling me that he was watching me, and I paid no attention whatsoever. And then finally one day he asked me out. To lunch, actually. And we went out to lunch. We hung out together. I enjoyed his conversation. It was cool or whatever. So after work that same day, I had a flat. And he stayed and helped me fix my car. And then he followed me home to make sure everything was okay. And then one thing kind of led to another. And I was like, wait a minute now. I've been missing something here. Because, yeah, that was I'm kind of like Danielle. If I could ever come across him again, I'd have to go for a second shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, the reason why I asked that question is because, you know, because Joan had proposed that, and then I wrote it down as a question to ask. So Joan, I'm going to return to the scene of the crime. And so have you had that person you was unlikely that you saw, you know, first sight, and then y'all got it together, and it was just like everything that you wanted or needed?
Oh, definitely. I've never had a one night stand. So every person that I thought was going to be a one night stand ended up being something real, like that lasted, like. I mean, I don't want to say I was out there stalking for one night stands. I wasn't in the cut just, you know, watching dudes like, hey, he the one. That was not me. But
that wasn't,
you know,
I was in the bushes lying in wait for this.
I wasn't a lady who was lying in wait. But I met dudes, strike up a conversation. And, you know, hey, we both know what it is. Like, we only here for tonight type situation. Like, I met a guy in Florida, and he ended up in Houston. I was going to school in Huntsville. He caught a school bus. Like, they had a game or something. He caught the bus from Mississippi to Houston. From Houston, he took a Greyhound to Huntsville and showed up on my campus asking people for me, and they brought him to my door. And, I mean, like, I thought that the night stood. It did not stand. And so, you know, we were in the thing for about 5 years. So.
It was in that thing.
We were. We're still good friends today. But we're friends that have distance between us, and we understand that, you know, hey, we're in a different time in life, and we're not going to do that right now.
I feel you. I'm right there. My friend, we're just friends. Like, but she's one of my esteemed friends. You know, not bestie, but I appreciate her. And you know, and the funny thing is that, like, she started working out. So she's like, she already had a shape, and now she has even more of a shape.
but she's just not dealing with nobody. She's like you know what? She said the male species is full of shit, and you niggas lie way too much to get this. He's the first man that could tell me truth for more than 30 days. He might have a chance.
It happened.
I said, oh, they just on that. I said, you ain't got a lie to kick it. She said, no, they lie all the time. It's a problem. I was like, damn, that's crazy. Anyway, anyone else? Angel Kim. Well, let me say this beforehand. Angel Kim hosted me as a feature on her Love and Lyrics on Clubhouse. It's easily one of the most amazing things that has ever happened to me in my life. I cried so much because of that. And she's funny. And the thing was, she was getting kicked out and asking me all kinds of questions and all kinds of stuff. But she arranged for it to happen. So can we get a round of applause for Angel Kim rocking out with us? Hold on, let me get this right. Because my thing keeps closing down. Hold on. Oh, okay. She went too far. Oh, here we go. Round of applause for Angel Kim.
Yay.
Oh, no.
Angel. No, but it was good. That was good.
Yeah, it was cool. Right, I mean, we went to 2 in the morning. So, yeah.
3 in the morning for me. It was 3 for me.
Yeah. And if I wouldn't have shut it down, you would have kept talking. Because Mojave, y'all loves 2 o'clock.
Love to talk. I was only answering questions. Stop playing with me. I was only answering questions. That's all I was doing. I wasn't doing nothing.
I loved it. It was all vibe. I'm not complaining. It was all vibe. We had almost 450 come through last night. So, yeah, it was amazing.
So, it was great. So, come on. Tell me what happened. This happened
good
to you. Yeah.
So, I don't like short guys. I don't date them. I tend to not fool with them. I have been talking to this guy for a few months. We had exchanged pictures and everything, and all of the pictures he's ever sent me, I guess the angles he took made him look much taller. So we finally agreed to meet. And he showed up, and I'm 5'3", y'all. He showed up, and he's literally eye level to me. And I'm like, Lord, what did you do? And I'm like, I couldn't even say hello. I was like, how tall are you? He's like 5'4". I don't know. So, but I went off of the fact that we had great chemistry. He had so much personality. We hung out the whole day. That night, we got together and we were playing Drunk Uno. So, yeah, I was a bit tipsy. But we got to touching and kissing and, yo, that not short girl from the right now? I would see him any day of the week before now. But, yeah. But, yeah, he did things I didn't know was possible. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. Wow. So, yeah, he definitely proved to me that, yeah, some things size don't matter in, but, yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. All right, Pastor, I know I put you back in. Are you there? Pastor Slinky? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to move on. All right, so I have posted this in the World Council because we're going to get off the beaten path real quick. And so this is what I put in the World Council. I don't know if you saw it. Right, so we have an Instagram model ready to sue after Drake allegedly put hot sauce in the condom, right? So allegedly Drake and the IG model allegedly met up on Instagram. The two decided to link up a few weeks ago. The model and Drake had a romantic encounter. And
after the party. They went back to his hotel. They smoked weed for a bit. She asked if he wanted to have. He asked if she wanted to have sex. She said she was very intent on ensuring things were consensual. She said yes. He's very ensuring that it was consensual. They started out with a bit of foreplay, rubbed and sucked titties for a bit. Then he went to the bathroom and came out with the condom on. She said he's about 7 inches thick and cut. I don't even know how I'm reading that. That doesn't matter. They fucked for about 20 minutes. He mostly hit it from the back and eventually came inside the condom. Immediately after, he went to the bathroom to dispose of it. She fished the condom out of the trash, untied it, and put the opening into her vagina, and she was in for a surprise. She said it felt like pouring hot lava into her vagina. She screamed, and Drake ran into the bathroom. He admitted that he poured a packet of hot sauce in the condom to kill the sperm. Now, the Instagram model is trying to sue Drake. So, who's in the wrong here? Is Drake in the wrong, for putting hot sauce in the condom?
She is extra wrong.
Why would you do something like that?
Something in the condom that was discolored. Like, what the hell?
Exactly. It just doesn't make sense.
What kind of penis does he have? Because the penis has a hole, and so I just can't believe that he would do that because hot sauce is hot. So
no,
I think
he
put
the hot
sauce in the condom when he took it off.
After.
Okay, listen. Well,
thank you.
Because I was like,
you picked the condom. Yeah, you picked the condom up, and obviously you looked at it. You couldn't tell that it was something in the condom.
Well,
like,
you deserve what you got because what you thought was you was going to trap him. So you fooled yourself.
Right, exactly. And that's the reason why he did that. The only way I could see her not noticing it with hot sauce in it was if it was a black condom, because you can't really see through it unless it stretched over his penis. But that's what her dumb ass. He did that specifically.
But here's the thing.
That he could get trapped easy.
Well, and she's literally just a gold digger all the way around, right? Because you now you're suing him because you injured yourself.
Right. She's not going to get anything.
But she
wanted
to be famous.
It was consensual sex. There was no force. No. He didn't take advantage of her. She agreed. She was with it. She just thought she was going to get something from him afterwards for a lifetime. And what she got was burned from the hot sauce. And that was
literally,
she
belonged to the streets.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go to court about something like that. That's so embarrassing.
She really wants the money. She wants the money and the fame. She wants people to know her name.
Yeah, well, she's going to be known by a stupid ass
thing. Right, she's going to be known as the dumbest bitch ever.
If that's the case, she should have gave him some head and held it in her mouth after he got finished doing what he was doing. And then she could have spit it out and see something.
Are we not listening to the story? Are we not listening to the story?
What are you talking about? We're not listening.
What
we're discussing it.
Female is going to pull a condom that has cum in it out of a wherever after it's been used.
That's what gold diggers do. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah. He's a celebrity.
Oh, wait a second.
Blaze,
let me ask you. Hold on, Blaze. Let me ask you a question. You've never heard of that before?
I've heard of that, but still, it's still nasty as hell.
It's nasty as hell, but listen. Let me ask you a question. It's like P.J. Washington's baby mother, right? She knew. Brittany Renner knew. She's like most of the people you have to understand. Like the funny thing is, what's his name? He has a show. He's a newscaster now. What is his name? I can't think of his name right now. It's like he has a show. He has a couple shows on ESPN, but he literally said that when they do game, he said when we have home games, he's like he would say that they had a row where they put all the women that they considered to be roadkill. Right, so basically there was a section where they would let these models, IG models, these women, and they were basically there for entertainment. Now, and there's so many basketball stars where essentially they've left condoms,
they were told that there was that the person was on birth control, many different things. They will take wherever you can find that sperm. That sperm is worth millions of dollars to them. You know, millions of dollars now. Yeah. So you're having a baby. Go ahead, Angel.
Oh no, I was gonna say because it doesn't matter if you intentionally got her pregnant or she did it herself. Still, I mean, in the court of the law, you're gonna have to support that child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, and then, you know, that's just what it is. And so you, one of the things is like, yo, listen, I'm going to be set if I financially have this baby with this star. I'm going to ask for all these things. It's going to maintain my lifestyle. The child is going to be expected to be maintained within the lifestyle that the father has. So it is absolutely understood that, listen, you could be going from making somewhere between $4,000 to $5,000 a month to someone paying you $30,000 to $40,000 a month to take care of a baby that you only probably need $2,000 a month to take care of. You know, with that, so you're improving your lifestyle. You're getting all this other stuff. You're hopping on planes. There are professionals at this. There's professional women who go around and they get with these players. So one of the things that we're looking at with Brittany Renner, right? She's like. They're basically saying that she's basically being a gold digger by intentionally getting pregnant, right, by a 23-year-old Charlotte Hornets basketball star, you know, because it's a huge payday once she gives birth, right? So he's 23, she's 29, right? And so she basically has been on this tour where she went to Jackson State University, you know, where Deion Sanders currently coaches, and said, hey, Jackson State, hide your sons. Like, she's telling people, like, basically – she basically said everybody made their adult decisions, but you know, she's like, oh, the man didn't take accountability, but you knew that you were going to get pregnant, and then you know you're going to ask for a certain amount of money when that happens. Like, even with Nas literally has a son with Khalees got caught cheating and everything else. Khalees is married to another person, has a farm, has a cookie show, has another person, and she still gets hella bank from Nas. Nas pays for her lifestyle. She didn't make all that much money. Didn't make all the money that you think. It was cool, but her lifestyle was supported by Nas, right? If we look at what happened with Nas's first baby mother, right? Her first, like, soon as his daughter turned 18, it was over. And she was living high off the horse as long as she had his daughter. And then once his daughter turned a certain age, you know, and she really went back to court to try to keep getting him to give her money. The same person had sex with Jay-Z. Who tried to trap Jay-Z, but Jay-Z was smarter than that. You know, it's a lot of different things that people do in order for certain things to happen. So, you know, if she went to go get the condom and she put it in, she was basically saying, Drake is super rich. She have a baby by Drake. Mm-hmm. Even if she doesn't get that, she's gonna come off at least $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month. How much of an upgrade to your lifestyle would that be if you're not making that much money? You know, you're getting over $400,000 a year, probably $600,000, right? And if you don't have money, what's having a baby, you know, with a star, and then forever, and then your kid becomes that person's legacy. So that means they might even be entitled to a piece of the empire when that person passes. Therefore, manipulation and all this other stuff. So yeah, Blaze, this shit happens. It's a real deal thing.
We're all talking about getting rich and getting money, finding ways to sneakingly get paid billions of dollars, but you're sneakingly coming up off ass whooping, getting fucked up by, you know, the relatives and their family because they know the type of shit you did. Like,
and it doesn't stop the bank rolling.
No bit on a dollar that you don't understand the shit that goes on in the child's life as they're growing up mentally. Mental health wise,
none of that is their consideration. Though they just want the money.
Yeah.
Nobody ever thinks that bullshit, but everybody's always thinking about how to make a quick dollar off some dumb shit. That's crazy.
Brother,
I agree with you. But you know what they would probably say? They would say, you know what? With the money that I'm going to get from this come up, I can put my kid in therapy. Money buys the whole.
But things like this have been going on for decades.
This ain't nothing new.
It's not anything new. This is more longer than decades.
And whatnot. You're trying to inseminate themselves.
Gold digging has been around since the beginning of time, honey.
Hold on, because we're talking over each other. Let's not that. So, Danielle, finish your thought. Angel Kim, and then we're going to come back to you, Blaze. So, Danielle, finish your thought.
What I'm saying is this has been going on since the beginning of time. This greed with women, this gold digging thing, didn't just come about a few centuries ago. This has been going on since men were rich and in power. And women spotted it. It's always been like that. And vice versa. Men see women in power or have money, and they want it. So they trap them some kind of way. They do it. It's been going on forever. This is not new. And yes, it's disgusting. It's nasty. And there are no, these takers, they have no limits to them. So it's nothing new. There ain't nothing to get upset about unless you find yourself in that position. This is just something that's been going on. And as far as Miss Thang, Miss Hot Ass, that's what she did.
Yes, Miss Hot Ass for real.
Okay. Yeah, literally. So, I mean, it's what we have. But I know women that have done this to men. These men are not rich, but they're comfortable financially. These women have married these men for money and have had babies by them. Just because they know that they're going to have a come up financially. So, I mean, it's nothing new. That's it.
Okay, I mean, so, look at so Angel's ex-husband who had the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's the name husband did that to her? What's the boy's name? Kevin, what's it called?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears,
yeah.
Ex. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He gets paid all of that. Yeah.
Yeah, federal line gets paid by a couple of famous women.
But what's the name ex did that to her before she passed? Anna Nicole's ex? For the,
mm-hmm.
He fought tooth and nail to prove that little girl was his. And he's living
high. Yeah, because
not
only does he get her estate, he gets the estate that was left to her by the millionaire that she had married. So all that
mm-hmm.
money in there, he gets to control that estate unless,
mm-hmm.
you know, somebody basically put into a trust where that person happens. But I want to go to Angel Kim, because you were saying something, so I want to make sure we loop back and then come back to Blaze.
Oh, no, I was just saying that this is nothing new. This has been going on for centuries on for centuries. But not only to people with money and whatnot and people who are stable, but desperate women trying to hold on to men that they are obsessed with, because it's definitely not love, are obsessed with. Or I know a girl who stalked a guy because she was a one-night stand and she wanted him again, and he had a girl, and he kept telling her no. She got him drunk. And they had sex, and she took his sperm and inseminated herself and got pregnant. And
mm-hmm.
he doesn't recall it. He honestly did not recall it. And he thinks he was drugged, but still, there's a child there. Now his relationship was ruined because he got involved with somebody who was lonely, you know? But
mm-hmm.
women don't like the kids.
Whose relationship
is ruined? Secure a relationship, secure a man, or secure some funds.
Angel, she wanted to know how what relationship he had that was ruined.
Well, when he cheated on his girl, that was ruined. He should have never cheated.
Oh, yeah.
He was in a relationship. But he messed around and got involved with one of his coworkers, and she was obsessed with him and didn't want him to take no for an answer. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
I mean,
well, you got to think long and hard.
Yes. Do I feel sorry for Ms. High Seat? No, not at all. Because, number one, I like was said earlier, you nasty.
don't care if that was his sperm. You dug it out the trash.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
I tell my son in a heartbeat, wear a condom. You go to the bathroom. You put some water in it. And you get rid of the condom.
Yeah, bottom line, the condom, that condom was his and that sperm was his to do what he wanted. And if she got burned by taking what was his, that's her problem.
Yep. Dumbass.
Yep.
Well, I don't think she has a leg to stand on. I don't think that she'll be able to properly litigate him.
She's not going to win, but
she's going to try. But, you know, the one thing I wanted to point out, because I'm going to come back to you, Blaze, is that, for example, when Janice Dickinson was talking about the Bill Cosby thing, right, and she's like, Bill Cosby drugged me and raped me. Now, this is a person who's a known, reputed person who's a drug addict, right? So there's pictures of her in the room with Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby smoking a cigar with a nightgown on, which means they did it. And then she recanted her story. A couple of times she said, I told the story so I can make more money off my books. But she went and testified. That's why how much it was a kangaroo court for Bill Cosby, because they went and used that testimony, even though she's on record saying that she told the story so that she could sell books, right? And so some of the women that said that they were pregnant, like, he's been built, like, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm supporting Bill Cosby or Pill Cosby, as I like to call him, in what he was doing, but I am stating that some of the women that came forward were absolute liars and saying that, like, one person said that she was a baby by him, you know, and that he actually had a love child, and the love child tried to blackmail him. Like, when people are doing these things, like, you know, if we look at Tristan Thompson right now, where he had to admit that the child was his because he was out there fucking. And I was like, listen, if you know that you're with this and you're just trying to do this, there's a reason why people pay for certain things so that they, you know, they don't pay them to stay, they pay them to leave. And I'm not saying I'm advocating for this, but sex work is real work. People have to understand that. And so if you're not really willing to pay for the professionals,
I said, I agree.
You know, if you're not willing to pay for the professionals and you're just trying to sit there and be slick and hope that you're going to have a – once you become famous, you no longer have the ability to be anonymous. You are on Front Street at all times. You have to understand that people will do everything and anything to get it. That's why with Earthquake, I think Earthquake's case with his paternity is the funniest thing, because he paid up his child support. He paid it up. He doesn't owe her no more money. And he's like, if my children need something, they can come to me directly. You don't get to be the intermediary between me and my child. Mm-hmm. And his wife was sitting there telling her story to everybody who would listen, because she was upset that she didn't plan for the rainy day. She just spent the money because she didn't think the money was going to run out. Same thing with Nas's baby mother. Same thing with a few other people, like, you know, like Mike Epps' ex-wife. She gets paid handsomely for what it is, but she wanted everything else. It's like Dr. Dre, right? He had the prenup.
Yeah,
his wife was like, yo, I need – who needs $2 million a month? What are you doing? What are you doing with $2 million a month?
Right. Here's the thing. But the difference with those with that situation particularly is that was a wife and a husband, and we really don't know the inner workings of what their relationship dynamic was and what she has endured in the relationship with him that dictates that she should get that. So that's a whole different thing than when you bring in a child because you out here fooling around. That's a totally different situation and circumstance. And the other thing is, it doesn't just happen to people who are famous. It should happen to anybody that somebody wants something more than the other person is willing to give. You can literally not have a pot. You can literally be dehydrated with no piss. And if she feels or if he feels that you should give more, then they're going to press the issue.
It's true. It is true. Women have done it for less. So you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Just because they want control, they want that person to stay in their lives some kind of way.
That's what it comes down to. That's the most dangerous part of being the other person, is when the other person no longer wants to be the other person and they're no longer just another person. Like, they have earned interest in your life. They know shit that the first person don't know.
Yeah. truth be told, with my son, like once I had my daughter, I was really trying to get away from my ex. But once my, you know, and but I, the funny thing is, I already had my plan. I was gonna go. I was gonna be out, and I just stayed over. You know, my daughter was like, I don't know, like maybe 5 months, and she was just the cutest thing since sliced bread. And I remember I was just over there, and I was watching Crying Freeman. I was watching Crying Freeman because, you know, that's when they had Blockbusters and shit. So I was watching Crying Freeman, and I decided to stay over. And it was cold on the couch. And she's like, do you want to sleep in a room? And the thing was, that was crazy about it was I had no intention on being there, because I was like, listen, being with my daughter, like having my daughter with you was the most drama-filled thing in my life. It was terrifying. It was emotionally abusive. And then I just stayed over there. And the funny thing is, like, she ended up pregnant. And the thing was, it's like, it was like, to me, it was like the worst thing since sliced bread. And the funny thing is, all through the pregnancy, it was just nuttiness. And my son, like, literally, till he was 3 months old, he really didn't like me. I'd pick him up and he'd cry. It was everything else. Now the funny thing is that going through all of that and knowing that she got pregnant on purpose with my son, and then to see how everything turned out and how I had to fight for him and everything else like that.
Can we stop? Can we stop? How'd she get pregnant on purpose and y'all was both fucking?
No, well,
like,
well,
that's
let's
the question.
Just let's
women
just say,
don't ever
let,
ask me.
Let, you know what? I will take responsibility of my thing. I should have left.
Oh, okay.
And I should have been there.
You saw because it was your thing. It was your thing.
Yeah, I know.
So I need to, yeah,
I
own
not,
that. Mm-hmm.
But it was crazy. It was crazy because it was
forget.
Such a thing.
Let us not forget, though, in his defense, nobody gets born unless a woman wants it to be born. Whether or not the baby was conceived intentionally, the baby was definitely birthed intentionally.
I know a lot of women that have babies they don't want. I work in foster care.
All right. So that's all I'm saying. Is,
I mean, no, what I'm saying is, here's the thing. He had the option to take his entire penis and not stay over the night.
I did.
And that
did.
Would not,
did
a baby
that.
Would not
no,
be born.
No, I said I'm equally as responsible.
Right.
Because
you knew she was toxic before you put your penis inside of her vagina.
You know, but you know the rule, Joan. You know the rule. The most toxic people
no,
have
don't.
The best sex.
No, I don't know.
Don't be me. Don't you know, strike it from record. Strike it from record. Let's hear say. hearsay. No, I'm just, yeah, no, but for real, I knew better. You know, I knew better, and I should have done better. And so that's the funny thing is, like, you know, it's the strangest thing is, like, when you do that,
yeah, well,
and the
no,
funny
man.
Thing is
mm-hmm.
yeah, no, my stay away game is top notch right now. I'm like, hey, you want, no, you want to, no, you want to make this happen? No, would you like to? No, I'm like these. I said these bad boys swim. They still swimming, still swimming. Not gonna do it, but. No, but for real, but for anybody else that might be in that situation, there's always people, they can create a situation, they can do certain things in order for it to happen, but with these people who are stars, they have to understand that they are targets, high-value targets at that, because, you know, anybody who can upgrade themselves, anything else with that, you know, they'll do it, they'll make it happen, you know, and the funny thing is, like, if you read Reddit has stories like this all the time, where women are like, there was this one guy who basically the woman hated him his whole high school career, called him poor, and then he gets a jiggy job, he does better for himself, he's kind of well off, he's wealthy, and so when he comes to visit, like, the person who's after him was so into it, like, her sister worked at a bank and she got all his personal information and figured out where it was, which is a violation, which is a serious violation. Actually, it's a violation on so many different levels. And he basically had to sue her to keep away because she had all intentions on trying to figure out how to get to him to make herself pregnant so she can get into his lifestyle. And there are people who are like that, you know, that's what they spend. Instagram rivals, all these other people that I have, and they try to figure out, what is it that I can do in order to have this? If I can't earn it, I can't take it, I can't do this, hey, but you know what? I have sex, and everybody loves sex.
I mean, you know? Well, I mean, here's the highest stake that we've all witnessed is Kate's mom, you know, Prince William's wife. her mom transferred universities for her to go to the school so that she could meet him,
mm-hmm.
marry
mm-hmm.
him, and have children. And that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. What?
So there's nothing. Yeah. She was going to one university. She found out.
You're kidding me. Tell me that again.
No. Here's the thing. Black people, I'm going to go out on a limb and be honest and say black women are the only women in the world who are not raised to go to college and marry somebody who's going to help them upgrade their life. I keep saying that. People don't believe me.
Mm.
We the only ones who are sent to college
to
actually learn.
Now.
I mean, no,
Hold
we
on,
all. We're sent to college to learn.
I think Van just came in. Wait, Van, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm definitely here.
All right, man, so because I know you're going to weigh in on this situation. But wait, so Prince's wife transferred to the university to find him, like literally?
Her mom got into the inner circle of the royal family, found out where he was going to school. He decided to go, like, switch universities at the last minute. She unenrolled her daughter in the school she was initially enrolled in, transferred her to the school that he was enrolled in, and was like, all right, here's your one chance, Fancy. Don't let me down.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
in real life.
Crazy.
And that's not a secret. That's not a secret. Like, that's literally how they met.
Mm.
When she said, I believe the children of the future, she meant hers.
Wow.
But baby, you ain't Ruth. Baby, you ain't Ruth, and I ain't no Boaz. You got to go.
Gotcha.
Go. So, Van, what you been thinking? I know you've been in and out listening to the conversation. So what do you think about this whole thing where we're talking about the Instagram model trying to get pregnant with Drake Seed and ends up pouring semen with it? Oh, yeah. Before we go, if you're streaming right now, you have 90 seconds to call in. The number is 319-527-6300. We're going to continue this conversation. Make sure you know when we hit the after thing, we call it after dark, after wherever. It's going to be real no holds barred. We're going to talk. We got some things going on. Make sure you happen. 50 Radio Universe, a for real entertainment network sponsored by Raw Links, Barbie Average, Used to Be Raw. Find the webpage. Get on there. Everything is good. Get the polar bracelet. You got 60 seconds. Basically, the number is 319-527-6300. Make sure you come through. So, Van, what do you think?
Bro, that chick is crazy as hell, first of all. She deserves every ounce of her burning coochie. I'm telling you straight up. Because her intent was to trap this man. Point blank, period. That was her intent.
Period.
Oh, I got a night with Drake. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have his baby tonight. By any means necessary. And she took that literally.
Any means.
And figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
She was bold enough to go into the bathroom behind this man.
Bold enough.
You mean to tell me you couldn't see that the color of what was inside the condom wasn't right? Danielle, I heard your point. It might have been a black condom.
That's what I said.
It might have been a black condom. If it was a black condom, you mean you didn't smell the hot sauce? Does it? Nobody talked about that. Hot sauce got a distinct smell.
You're right. You're right about that.
Like vinegar.
Yeah.
Mm. So either way, had her mind set on what she wanted to do. She was not thinking.
Either way.
She was trying to hurry up. That's what she was trying to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Of course
she
was.
She deserved that. I don't have any sympathy for that stupidity. She deserved that.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She was just making noises in the bathroom. That's all I'm going to say.
She was
burn.
Yeah. And can you imagine? Can you imagine Drake's face when he ran up in there? We didn't talk about that. He either was dying laughing because you're so stupid, or trying to figure out if I'm going to smack you because you decided to do this stupid thing.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And I do not condone domestic violence at any means. I had one of my sisters, my cousins nearby real quick. Hey, come take care of this for me.
Blaze, I heard what you said, bro. Yeah. One of my sisters would have been there. One of my cousins. Somebody. Hell, one of my closest friends would have been there. Oh, I got you, boo. Mm-hmm. I got you.
These hands are right at
ease. It's crazy, yeah, man.
I know she was real heated behind that one.
In more ways than one.
If there was ever a time in society or in history, right now would be the time where men are faking orgasms, faking that we came.
Mm-hmm. Because I have a friend who had a vasectomy.
I had a friend who had a vasectomy.
And he never told women, he would never tell women that he was intimate with that he had a vasectomy. And over about a 5-year period, he had 3 women come to him saying that they were pregnant for him.
I knew it was coming. I knew he was going to say that.
And I mean, he's a well-off, well-established dude, but 3 women in a 5-year period, 2 of which he was in, you know, they were in a close, committed relationship. 1 he was going to marry. She didn't know it. She could never produce, you know, she couldn't produce anything beyond the EPT.
Wow.
And so, and he's very, I mean, and this has been probably about 8-9 years ago. He's very leery of entering into any type of relationship with women. Like, he was like, you know, I'm about as asexual as I'm going to get in this lifetime.
But can you blame him?
No, I don't.
Not at all.
And he's a nice-looking guy. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's very nice. He's genuine. You know, he's all of the things that you would want at a later stage in life. You know, and I mean, you know, I think he's 52, 53, 54, somewhere up in there. His children are gone.
That happened to me.
He was like, I don't want
to
start over.
That happened to me earlier in my life.
Yeah.
That happened to me earlier in my life. A chick I was dealing with that, you know, I just felt like we wasn't going nowhere, and I just got tired of dealing with her, and I'm like, okay, we're going to have to break up. So when I had mentioned us breaking up, the next day she called me talking about she was pregnant. And I'm like, damn, now I'm trapped. So yeah, now I can't break up with her because whatever. She called me back 2 weeks later talking about, Ryan, I got something I got to tell you. I'm like, yeah, what's up? Remember when I told you like 2 weeks ago I called you while you was at work to tell you I was pregnant? It's like, yeah. Well, I'm not really pregnant. I was like, oh, so we lying now, too. You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm fucking done with you for real. Like, now you done told me the truth. Now I know there's no ties, and we're never going to talk again. So I just hung up on her, and then that was it for me. I'm like, damn, I don't even have shit. And you lying to me to tell me that you're pregnant by me because you don't want nobody else to have me. Oh, well, whatever.
That was a control thing. Yeah, pretty much.
Actually, I knew something.
She belonged to the streets. You from the streets? Man, you know, it's funny, man. It's funny. When I was younger, probably when I might have been like 24, 25, and a woman tried that with me. Do you know what my rebuttal was? You know what my rebuttal was?
What?
I told
what
her,
was
I
your
said,
rebuttal,
I said,
man?
I said, perfect. Let's have the kid. I love kids. Let's have it. She was so surprised. And look on her face. I never heard from her again.
Wow. Wow.
Nah,
called
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. So one of my peoples, literally, like his wife, had a baby with her quote unquote godfather. And the thing was that was crazy is that, like, you know, he went through the whole pregnancy, you know, and you know, he has people in his family that's light-skinned. You know, he's very caramel-skinned. And so, you know, but the mother's caramel-skinned. So he's thinking, like, you know, sometimes, like, your kids will come out one way and end up another. You know, they get darker, they get lighter, their eyes change. It can happen. So...
Mm-hmm.
as she grew up, when she turned two, she looked exactly like the Godfather. The Godfather was, he would dote on the child, he would take the child, he'd buy all these things for the child, right? And so what happened to him, which was crazy, was he used to work for Verizon. And so he would do service calls in the area and all this other stuff that was happening. And he decided, he was like, you know, I'm close enough to home, I'm going to come home for lunch, you know. So he couldn't park, like, it was weird because I guess the Godfather had his truck in the driveway. And there was, and you know, and the way that the houses were, like in Albany, like this, like it's a two family home, and so the driveway was full, so he had to park down the block and walk up. So he parked down the block and he was walking up, you know, he walked to the door and he basically came in the house, and he thought nobody was home, and so he's like, nobody's home, or you know, and he's like, maybe the baby's asleep, who knows, and he goes into the bedroom. And he sees them fucking. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, he's like, what the fuck? And so I commend him for being as calm as he was. But on that one day, he found out that his wife's cheating on him. She cheated on with the quote-unquote Godfather. And then the wife told him that the Godfather was the father of the child.
Oh,
and that he might file for custody. Because he was, you know. But he had to find all that out on that one day. And the funny thing is, like, you know, because we had to sit with him. Like he literally came to my house. And I told him, I was like, listen, you know, because when he was at my house, I was like, you can come and hang out with me, but I can't let you stay here because, you know, my family's here. And I don't want to bring any of that to my household. But, you know, if you want to go do this, he said, oh, no, I got some place to stay, but it's fucked up. And the funny thing is, he forgave her for it. And she did it again.
Wow.
Yeah. But,
my question, I guess, would be, how long had she been sleeping with the Godfather? Because here's the thing. I have a lot of questions about sexual grooming when people have a certain level of authority in your life.
Listen, I have no idea. I can just tell you. But the thing is that the Godfather never... He never really, like, he just said that just to be saying, like, he was going to take custody and all that. He ended up raising the daughter, like, basically. And the thing was is that his wife, you know, like, it was crazy. She left him, like literally, I was with him when he found out where she was cheating at. Everything else was funny. And the funny thing is, she was best friends with my ex-wife. And my ex-wife would tell me the bullshit that she would tell her. And then, you know, until it was my turn, and then, you know, then he was, you know, thinking things. But she literally made this man, like, this man loved this woman. He raised the child, and he literally had her until she was 13, and then the mother came and got it. So now they live in, like, Pennsylvania, and he basically, and she won't let him see him. And even though she regards him as her father, she's like, oh, this is not your, she's like, he's not your real father. And she's like, that's the only father that I know. You know, but it's crazy like that. It's crazy. It's literally crazy
evil.
Like that.
That's evil.
Yeah, but that's
what
she, listen.
Evil.
But short story.
Evil,
short,
and there's
story
no
short,
repercussion for it.
No,
nope.
No. This is the same person who tried to serve me papers. Like, the first time I was getting a divorce, she tried to serve me papers, and I was arguing with the law guardian and the people in the court because she basically said she served me at my school, and it was my ex's handwriting, and she came to court and said that she served it, and I said, this is a false instrument. I said, you know, anything else? I said, that's not her handwriting. Well, I couldn't get the judge to recognize that wasn't her handwriting because he basically threw the thing out. Like, he threw it out, so it didn't matter. But she basically said she served me at the school, and that she was the person who walked up on me and served me. And I was like, that's not it. And I was like, why would you lie and say something like that? But that's how she was. Like, literally, when she got caught cheating again, like, she got caught cheating with a person that I knew. And I didn't understand why he was cheating with her, because his girlfriend and his wife looked 18 billion times better than her. You know, and I just realized that you know, men will fuck anything, period. Like, they'll, you know. And I was
That's
trying to tell
true.
My boy, I'm like, yeah. Well, no,
I
listen,
got limits.
In this situation, compared to this man's, well, now it's his wife, But he wasn't married to her then. But compared to who she was and how she was, how she moved about, how she was just a really all around. I was like, why would you cheat on this person with this person who's of low moral character and value, who doesn't even care about her family like that? You know, crazy. I don't understand. I'm still trying to figure that one out. And I was like, and the brother's a dope brother. Like, he's really, I just didn't understand why he made that choice.
Because they were cheating, Mojave. Here's the thing about cheating. Why would you want to cheat with somebody who has high moral standards? That's silly. That doesn't really exist.
But I'm just saying, but why not cheat with someone equal caliber? Equal, don't cheat with somebody. Listen, you don't want to cheat with, your wife is, like, she's bad. Like, she's dope.
But she's bad to you, so you're not married to her. Here's the thing. As a person who's been married to somebody and everybody else felt like that was the best person for me, like, he does this, he looks like this, he's great, he's this. And here's the thing. I'm not discounting him at all. Not one tidbit of anything that anybody ever told me was not true about him. However, they were not married to him. And so when you try to make sense of the inner workings of somebody else's relationship, it's never going to make sense to you because you're not in it. So his wife could have been all of the wonderful things, but here's the thing, what she wasn't was the freak that this other lady was, or what she wasn't was the nurturer to him, or the, you know, the words of affirmation, or the sexual intimacy and the desire and the leading spirit. She might not have been all of those things to him. She was all of that to you, because sometimes when we in bad stuff, we looking at somebody else like, damn, if I had somebody who was like that, I'd be all right with this shit. I mean, you know, it just, it's all relative.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, I don't disagree.
Don't know what all was going on in the relationship. You
right.
Know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She could have been wonderful, outwardly appearing wonderful, community-driven leader. And in the house, she could have been a fucking Satan worshiper. You don't know, because you weren't. I know families that on the outside, they appear dysfunctional as they come, but they have a strength that endures and they truly love each other. And then I know people that look picture perfect, and they are the most fucked up people you would ever meet in real life.
Yep.
I'm on ball with those
people
things.
Cheat. It's very rarely just about sex.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. I can't call it.
People can get from home.
I know people pick things or anything else. It just bewildered me, but I'm going to say about my friend's ex, I'm going to borrow this from Wendell. She's for the streets.
She belongs to the streets.
For real. She's one of the wackest people I ever met. I was like, oh, you know, most of the times I joke when I tell people they ain't shit, but she wasn't shit, like, for real. Because I was like, you know, it was crazy. That's how I ended up becoming his roommate, you know, because, like when I pretty much had to leave, me and him, we lived in a townhouse. And it was crazy because, you know, she basically took everything out of the house. Like, she took everything. And he was like, he didn't even know what to do with himself. He actually quit. He didn't quit his job. Like, he basically took a sabbatical. Like, I don't know, take a sabbatical, whatever it is. But he had a break because he was trying to recover. Because he's like, she took everything from me. And then my thing was like, you know, like, I still couldn't figure out how she was moving around the way she was. I was like, how are people, you know, doing what they doing with this particular person? Like, I just couldn't figure it out. Like, I still can't figure it out, because the brother I know, I'm like, man, listen, like, he's a really, like, you know, him sleeping with her aside, you know, he's a really good person. Like, he does mad crazy good shit for everybody. Like, he's a person, give you a shirt
off
his back.
I
just
couldn't
understand.
He wanted to do something for himself. And
but
so
I mean, like,
hurt.
But for real, like, I just can't, it just bugs me out because
you.
It's like, it really does bother me, because I'm like, yo, his significant other is 10 times the woman she was, like, you know, just all around.
In your opinion, but she was just his wife.
Right.
Let me tell you who.
There you go.
Yeah, that, like, I mean, you know, there's no, people may look at you and your ex-wife and be like, man, why would she do all the shit she ever did to him? He's a dope-ass dude. And she like, that, he was just my fucking husband. Like, I saw the nigga every day. It was what it was.
Nigga, you just a husband.
Like, sometimes we halo people. I mean, no, sometimes we halo people just, you know what I'm saying, because we think they dope and they great people and all of that. And, you know, listen, Martin Luther King was still Martin Luther King, and Coretta was his wife, but guess who he was with? Somebody who was for the street.
We don't want to have a king conversation because I get into it. That he liked fried chicken and southern women. That's what he was into.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I don't want to say it, but he was a hoe. He was a hoe.
He was still a great person, and he advanced us wonderfully. However,
he
had a thorn in his
side. But he was a hoe. He has some
I can't speak on it because I don't know what it's like to feel like I carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. You know what I'm saying? So my release and what I need may be different. Like, that's the, like, I challenge people to often not put our complexes about what we think other people should want on them,
mm-hmm.
or how they
should conduct
themselves, because it makes us uncomfortable, yeah. or we've experienced certain things. Like, I just, mm-hmm. you know.
No, that's true. And then the other thing is that we do take it to the head when women cheat harder than when men do. So, I mean, you know, to me it was personal because he went through the whole process of forgiving her, you know, and putting his family back together. They just, you know, and the funny thing is when you're with your friend and you see them hurting, you can't do a damn thing about it. It just aggravates. It makes you aggy. I was aggy as fuck. So that's my confession. But other than that, you know, most of the times when people are doing things, you know, outside of that, you try to figure out what leads anything else. But you're right. It's not what you think it is. It's usually what happens with people, because people could be like with monsters. You know, I know people who are now beautiful spirits with fucking monsters and shit, real life Tyler Perry villains and shit. Motherfuckers, you'd be like, look, if I meet you, I'm going to punch you in the face when I see you. You know, there's very few people I feel that way about. But, you know, I got three right now, so. I got three people. No questions, you know. If I call y'all for bail money, you know what happened. Boy, you know what happened. I'll be like, listen, I'm in jail. Trying to make bond. I need 10%. Need some help. What happened?
Yeah.
I met one of the three.
Lord.
Listen, I think we need to get a bank account to deposit money in, because, you know, they're going to start charging all of the Cash App, Venmo, all of that, you know. So I just feel like just start putting your money in now, because one day your spirit man is going to be tested and you're going to run across those people. Just be prepared.
Yeah. I'm trying, though. I'm trying real hard, because there's certain people. Because you know when people just be out doing some evil shit, like just doing some bullshit, you be like, how do you exist? Like, how do you exist? How does that work? You know, there's people just being bullshit in relationships and stuff like that. Like, you know, and you try to think about what would you do to prevent certain things from happening? Like, if you know you could, you know. And so it's like I try to figure out where certain people, how they was raised. I'm like, who raised you? Who made you who you was? Like, you know, I can't understand people who are that obsessed with someone that they have to control every portion of their existence. Like, I don't understand.
Ooh, you should have been
like
at
that.
The Sigma Founders Day in Houston.
Oh, word? Oh, really? What happened there?
It was terrible, y'all. It was terrible. I'm going to have to talk to y'all offline, because that conversation can't be recorded.
Back channel. Back channel. Back channel. You know, I just found
we
out.
We got a whole group chat. Just go ahead and throw it on up in there. We all waiting.
Right?
I just found out one of my childhood friends, known for ages, like, literally was like, it was being abused. And I'm sitting here like, what's going on with that, you know? But it'd be crazy, because you're right, Tom. Like, people could present picture perfect, and it'd just be like some other shit behind closed doors, and nobody knows, you know, because people,
well,
you
know
that
I
whole thing.
Well, you know, I used to be
a
terrorist, Mojave. You know that about me. And so I just believe that the Lord can convict and change anybody, even me.
Damn. You have no idea how funny this statement is.
While on others that were calling, do not pass me by.
Hallelujah, Holy Ghost.
That's what I said. That's crazy. Man. But that's funny. All right. So last thing, and then we gonna hop up off this thing. All right. How do y'all feel about public declarations of love and sex? How do you feel about
making
somebody
public?
In a public sphere, in the public sphere, shooting their shot at you? Angel, don't laugh.
Okay, let me ask this question. Are you already with this person and they just want people to know, or this person is just, they're literally shooting their shot at you?
Literally shooting their shot. How do y'all feel about that?
Honestly, I'm kind of a private person, so I don't like some kind of surprises. If we haven't been in a if I'm not aware that we in a relationship, don't tell everybody else before you tell me. Talk to me, honey. Don't ask my neighbor. Come talk to me.
Don't ask my friends. I ain't around.
I'm trying to tell you. Now come to me first. Talk to me, and then we can discuss certain things and how we want this relationship to go. You know, don't go walk up to me. I'm sitting outside somewhere, and I'm with a group of friends, and you got, you know what, this and this and this and that. No, you nigga, pull me to the side. What you up when? Oh. Talk
she
to
said,
me
come and talk to me. I really
that's
want to
right.
meet you,
dang
girl.
It, bro. Dang it, bro.
Okay. Okay.
Hey.
I'm trying to tell
and
you.
And you hit him with
the
remix. I ain't mad at you, boy. I ain't mad at you.
That's what I'm talking about. My favorite remix. Come through.
Right.
That is like the dopest remix.
Yeah. So,
I can't
I'm
even lie.
You.
So.
I think that's what we should do a show on.
You wouldn't want to be approached by someone shooting their shot at you where there's no previous relationship, someone just seeing you and introducing themselves and wanting to shoot their shot.
No, that's not what he means.
I wouldn't mind that. I would love for a man to approach me that way. But I'm talking about I'm in a group setting or and you come to me and you just make it known to everybody you want to. Come on now. Mm-mm, talk to me. You didn't put me in a relationship I don't know anything about. No.
Hey, I'm just like this. Don't never ask a question that you ain't ready to get the answer to.
That you ain't ready to get the answer for. That. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Fellas.
So, wait. Where's Angel? Where's Angel?
Just
at?
Be honest. What'd he look like?
Wait.
What do you look like, though?
Where's Angel at? Hold on for a second.
I really don't care what he looks like. Don't do me like that, man. Talk to
me. Okay.
Oh, listen.
So imagine.
Well, you know
right,
what? I enjoy a challenge of quick wit. You know, because sometimes you can let a person down without really letting them down, and it's not as bad.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a lead you away from the crowd and tell you how I really feel, but I'm gonna entertain this, you know, foolishness right here. But I'm also an entertaining and foolish person to a certain degree. So, you know, some people are just playful or, you know, sometimes it's easier to do things publicly than it is privately for some people. So I think it just depends on what the situation is. Like, don't get me to the church and then ask, you know, we at the altar for prayer and then you know, springing a wedding ring or something like that. That's kind of crazy. But,
what if you're sitting down, you having brunch with some colleagues, and he walks up to you. You had no idea this guy liked you. He walks up to you and he says, you know, I'd like to take you out. I want to, you know, I think this of you and I think that of you. You want him to say that to you in front of everyone? Or would you rather be in a
if that's
a
how he really feels.
You?
Well, here's the thing. I don't mind you exposing your feelings. And I guess that's the difference. I don't mind you exposing your feelings. It's because these are yours, right? They don't belong to me until we're in something. And so if that's the way you That's the way you, like, if you saw me and you like, damn, I got to get with her. Like, before she leave, I don't want this opportunity to pass me by. I'm a no regrets person. So if I see a guy, honestly, and I like him and he's sitting with three or four of his homeboys, I'm going to probably beckon for him to come here. I'm going to say, hey, I think I know you. Come here. And when he get over there, I'm going to run that game on him.
If you don't like the guy, well,
go ahead, Joan. Run that game, girl. Run that game.
Well, that's, I mean, you only got one shot, right?
Nah,
I mean, he might be listening if you're dust bust to get away from me.
That's right. You only got one shot. Do not miss your chance.
But
don't miss it.
I mean, yeah, because if he walk away or drive off or whatever, what if I don't ever have a chance to, you know what I'm saying, change his life?
Okay. All right, so let me add. I'm gonna add two more situations. Okay. So what if you're on an app? That's true. What if you're on an app and the person decides, right? All right, I'm gonna just use me because I don't care. So say we had this feature, right? So someone has a crush on you. They tell you, I have a crush on you. I'm really into you, whatever. But you don't really be like, you don't be on it like that. You just be like, oh, that's nice, cool, thank you, hey, all right, you know, you accept the compliments, everything else, but you're not on it, right? And then the person gets up in front of a room of a whole bunch of people and says, you know, I want to be more than this for you. I want to do this for you. I want to be such and such for you. And you're like,
But did you turn them down? I guess that's the thing. Did you turn them down? Because remember, I said,
I know enough not to do things in public to not embarrass somebody. Like, I did not mute my mic. I just told May, was like, did I embarrass you? I was like, yeah, a little. I was like, a little. Because you basically.
But if they came to you privately and you didn't shut them down in private, like, here's
no,
the thing.
No, but
if
that's
I come
the, that's the funny.
Like,
but
hey,
but here's the thing, Joan. Joan, here's the thing. They did something like this before, and I was like, don't do that. That's not.
Not
that,
don't
that
do that. I'm not interested in you. There's a difference. Like, there's a difference
between
the way you get my attention and, hey, listen, I'm not interested.
You know. Well, I don't.
Like, me
I don't
and y'all pick the wrong
to
time to be nice. Yeah, y'all, me and pick the wrong time to be nice.
Let me be a dick. What you want to do? I'm going to be a dick today. Hold on for a second.
It's not being a dick. Like, it's communicating honestly and being transparent. Hey, listen, I'm not, I appreciate your affection towards me, but I'm honestly just totally not into you. Like, I don't see you that way. There's not a possibility for us to be in a relationship. If you don't mind being friends, I wouldn't mind being friends, but I know me and you're not for me. That's clear.
That's very clear.
Yeah, that's what get people
probably
to stop embarrassing the shit out of you. That's what get people to stop embarrassing you.
That's the type of shit that gets your tires slashed and your windows busted out.
But
yeah,
she's going to do that. But she's going to do that anyway if she's crazy.
Generally speaking, women don't take rejection very well.
We don't, here's the, you know why? Because men don't give it very
well.
She's
like, we don't. What?
We don't.
Wait a minute, what?
We don't. We do not. We do not take rejection very well because men don't know how to really be honest in their rejection. Like, women, we have to practice it since we, like, 9 years old. We have to keep telling men that are much older than us, much bigger than us, much stronger than us, we're not interested just to protect our being. Men, y'all are not like that. Men are not like that. So y'all try to avoid conflict. Like, if you tell even a married man, a guy that's dating somebody, like, the hardest thing for them to do is to tell their spouse or whoever, somebody, no, right? Or I'm not interested, or, you know, whatever it is, because y'all really don't practice being honest because you're trying to not hurt her feelings so that you don't get the backlash or the blowback of how we feel. Sometimes when you allow us to go ahead and be upset, right, you're conditioned to not do it. But what happens is, because of the conditioning of you not doing it, we're not conditioned to understand when it happened. And there's a fear, right? There's a fear that women can't control their emotions when that's all we do all the damn time.
All the time.
No, I'm a beg to differ with you there, because there are plenty of times where women choose not to control their emotions just
because they know that there are no consequences.
Choose,
not because they can't. They don't employ them because they know that there will be no consequence. My godson is in the sixth grade. A little girl decided that she was upset with him because he didn't like her. She hauled off on the video and slapped the shit out of him. He grabbed her and he shook the shit out of her. They called his mom to come and get him, and she was returned to class, but not when he got a godmother like me.
Stop right there. That is not the fault of him. So when you just said that she audaciously slapped him, he shook her.
Yeah.
He got
and they
in
sent
trouble.
Him home.
He was sent back to class. So
correct.
What lesson does that teach him?
It teaches him that there are women out there who's going to advocate for him. But here's the thing. This is what I'm saying. This was the point. When they sent him home, like they called his mama, she called me, we went up there, right? Here's the thing. Call her mom and dad because she needs to go home today. She assaulted him. She's going to jail. So what it taught him was call the police and get that bitch handled. And I mean it when you 10, when you 12, when you 22, when you 72, because no mother loves their daughter more than no mother loves their son. Like, my daughters are valuable to me, but my if I had a son, he would be just as valuable to me, and nobody should be putting their hands on you because you don't want to entertain them. I don't care who they are.
That's right. Absolutely.
And they
have to be taught there are repercussions for your actions.
Your actions.
It has to be shown to them right away. You don't delay it. You don't put it off because if you hadn't said anything and that little girl hadn't acknowledged the behavior that she displayed, she would have said, you know what, I can keep getting away with this. I can keep
and
doing
that's what
it,
happens.
And it does.
And it literally happens. It happens.
So should men be allowed to hit women in cases like that when they've been struck first?
Hell yeah. Everybody has the right to defend themselves. Like, here's the thing.
Thank you.
What the law says in Texas is that if I hit you and you hit me back, we have the right to equally defend ourselves to the extent that we believe we're going to be injured, right? That's why police officers get away with killing people all the time, because they have fear for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But we run the narrative that men should never hit women, men should never hit women, men should never hit women, men should never hit women. No, there are absolutely times that women should be hit. At the time that you step out of the frame of being a feminine woman and you aggress a man,
mm-hmm. Get that bullshit knocked right back out of you.
Hey, I believe that 100%. I just needed to hear a woman say it.
I don't condone violence or any violence. Let me say that. I try to not operate in violence, period. However, if I fear for my safety, you're going to get an unreasonable me. I don't have to be concerned about your safety if I fear for my safety. Period. That doesn't come with a penis or a vagina attached.
There you go. Hmm.
I love it. I believe that as soon as you, regardless of your gender, when you walk into the realm of physical aggression, but especially if you're a woman and you step into the realm of physical aggression, you automatically leave behind the shield of protection that your gender would otherwise afford you. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you are now an assailant, a genderless.
Listen, you are now
assailant
society.
And attacker.
Yeah, yeah.
You are a
human.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right.
But I'm, you
I'm
know, but here's
the
thing.
I shake the dog shit out of us. She deserved to get slapped upside down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, he shook her. And, I mean, he shook her for, you know what I'm saying, a reasonable amount of time. She could have had a little whiplash on the little head. I get it. But at the
She's
same
lucky
time,
he didn't pop her in her damn face.
Baby.
He could have done worse. But
he could have. He could have. And here's the thing. She was bigger than him. She was way bigger than him. But that's the thing. And this is, I guess the other thing is I have PTSD because I have a brother, and my sister and I used to have to constantly go up to schools for him because he would never, ever hit a girl. He just would. He will not to this day. He's 28 years old. And there are some people I've had to roll on in real life.
You know, I used to be like that. I would not hit a girl. I used to be like that.
And then,
I went
I'm
home.
Knocking the hell out these
No, no, no.
Oh,
then
okay.
I went home. I went home, and my mama said very clearly, either you go out there and fight her, or you stay in this house and you fight me. Oh, I'm going out there and I'm on fire.
Fuck her
and
up,
that was the end of that. That was the end of that. That was the end of that.
Listen, he would take a whooping. My mama would whip him, but he will not. He will not. And I don't know. Listen, as a child whose mama fought their daddy, I mean, and that's realistic. And not because she couldn't control herself, but she could fight. So she would get mad and punch him. And he would have to defend himself if he wanted to make it out of there alive. So when people say, you know, women, no. Nothing is a blanket. There are some women who are naturally physically aggressive because they don't know how to express themselves any other way, and they don't care to learn. They don't care to learn. That's a reality.
And they get in relationships, then they think that it is somehow endearing to be able to slap a man upside his head and then hide behind, I'm a woman.
Well, she wasn't. My mama wasn't one of those women, but she just believed that she was just gonna punch a motherfucker because they didn't do what she wanted them to do, or he lied, or whatever. Whatever the thing was that led to that particular fight, right? They would fight it out. It was the 80s, though. You know, I'm gonna say that. You know, it was the 80s. So it wasn't considered domestic violence. It was people who fight. And it was what goes on in our house stays in our house, you know, all of that goes with it.
But she
didn't hide behind the shield.
I know my ex was trying to put hands on me, and she was like, she was punching me in my body, and then she started swinging for my head, and I had to skip, you know, I'm skip trained, so I had to restrain her. And she was the person that said that I hit her. I was like, no, I was like, actually, you're the person who was hitting me. I had never put my hands on you. You know, and that's the funny thing is that you have certain women that believe, like, yo, I can hit you and get away with it, and there's nothing that can happen. The rate of men experiencing domestic violence from women because, you know, they have the idea of not fighting back to women because they feel like it's weak. There are men who are getting hurt out here. Like, matter of fact, one of my peoples, the funny thing is he married this woman, and she was literally beating his ass. She gave him concussions. Like, I remember, right before the pandemic, he does paintballing. And so he's really fucking dope at paintballing. Like, he's like, you know, it started out as a hobby, and now he's an enthusiast, and now he really puts together these big paintball events. And so she really was upset with him for doing this paintball event and paying the money that he did, but, you know, she didn't understand that he was going to make triple the amount of money back because he's connected to all the paintballers, and he really had a nice course, like he had this course set up and everything else like that. She hit this man in the back of the head with a cast iron skillet.
Ooh.
She could have killed him. She could have killed him. Yeah, and she just kept putting our hands on him. Like, and the thing was, like, he'd try to do the best to get out of the house. Like, he would run from her, and she literally would get this look in her eye. Like, he was like, she'd look in her eye like she get the devil in her eye. That's what he would say. And she would come for him. Like, and he'd be running around, and she's like, you're such a bitch. And he'd be running from her. You know, she would hit him with broomsticks, handles, whatever she could put her hands on it, you know. And the moment he pushed her, right, to keep her from stabbing him, he ended up going to the jail for the night before it was actually understood that she was trying to stab him. You know, and the thing was is that the detective who knew him asked her a question. And so he's like, he's been putting his hands on you this entire time. And she's like, yes. So he pushed you over, and what were you doing? She's like, well, I was standing in this position, and blah, 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 and this is what happened, and I was trying to, so I picked up a knife, and such and such. And she's like, so you picked up a knife, he pushed you, he did this to you, he's been hitting you. Why does he have all these bruises? And why does he have, you know, because she actually managed to cut him a couple of times with the knife. He's like, why does he have this? Why does he have, you know, she punctured his hands, he had defensive wounds. And literally, she's like, he was hitting me, so I had to stab him. And he's like, you didn't take any pictures. And it's like, we arrested him, and we had to take him to the hospital. And she's like, well, I had to defend myself. And then he's like, I don't think that happened. And they arrested her on the spot. And the crazy thing about it was, after he got out of it, right, even though he divorced her, like, he stayed with her still after that shit. And we was like, yo, I said, once a person tries to kill you, bro, I said, she's not going to stop until she kills you. You do understand this, you know. And he was all heartbroken and shit. And I was like, yo, how do you love somebody who's trying to kill you like that? And as a woman, like literally, she stabbed his hands, because basically he was defending himself, and he just pushed her to get away from him. And then she called the police and got him arrested on the spot. Didn't matter he was bleeding. They didn't listen to shit he said at all. And so I think that if a woman is attacking you, trying to, like, basically try to do you serious body harm, you have to defend yourself. You have no choice. You don't really have anything else in it, you know. And it's crazy. But I'm glad brother is good now. He's super happy, you know. I'm glad that he's in a better relationship. But, you know, the funny thing is that she still calls him and bothers him and acts like, you know, he belongs to her. It's nuts. Why y'all get all quiet and shit?
That's crazy.
Because I know people you know.
Yeah, I know a woman like that. Well, she's not with us anymore.
Yeah, dudes have battered men syndrome.
Yeah, I know that's two true. Women, actually, like that. She's I guess you could call her a pugilist. She loves to hit. I don't know where she got it from because she was not raised like that, but she is very abusive. And she's got, like, 10 baby daddies, and she has fought every last one of them. And she's got, like, 16 kids, okay? The other one, she's gone now, but she would literally pick up a frying pan, a glass, bottle, anything, and hit these men with it, constantly abuse them and dare them to retaliate. She was just, that's just how she was, just very, very abusive. And there were no consequences. She liked to fight. They liked to get hit. And I never understood it. But, yeah, there needs to be consequences.
Even from a young age, girls, it's like widely accepted or somehow it's supposed to be endearing that a girl can hit a guy as a sign of that she likes him. Hitting is supposed to hit women, little girls, they're like, you know, they hit boys, and that's supposed to be a sign that they like them. And guys,
I don't know where you heard that from.
Listen, because I got my boyfriend.
I've heard it before,
and
they call it love taps.
Yeah,
So whatever you want to call them, whatever it is, she gets away with putting her hands on a little boy, and it's because she likes him.
They say that about boys, too. They say that about boys, too. They tease you if they like you, they hit you. No, I was a girl, believe it.
Right.
We were girls once. Hard to believe, but we were girls once. But I think adults make excuses for bad behavior when we're children. Because equally, I think that's one of the things that's equal, right? Oh, well, they only doing it because they like you. Or, oh, they only doing it because they like you. Instead of saying it's inappropriate and stop, don't do that.
Right, right.
Mm. I agree with that.
Like, we don't know how to set boundaries for small children, and so we make up little excuses because they do get the behavior from somewhere. Or here's the thing, they might have thought of it on their own. I got mad, and you took my toy, and I wanted it, and so now I'm going to knock the hell out of you. It is what it is.
Yeah.
They only want it because you playing with it, and so you should give it to them. You know, like, we create bad habits, and as people get older, We don't ever check them, and then they go out into the world and they meet people who don't love them, who don't care about them, and they become who they are. And things happen. Like, one of my homeboys got kicked out of college because he was fighting with his girlfriend. His girlfriend eventually became one of my sorority sisters. I watched her fight the majority of the dudes that she have been with through her adult life, and it only stops when the dude retaliates and gets her off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's older, you know, and she's, you know, in a better space or whatever, I guess. And so that it hasn't happened in a while.
Yes.
It hasn't happened in a while, but let me say this, because I'm a firm believer that I don't know what's happening behind closed doors inside of houses 24/7, right? But there, I guess it's okay, because, like, nothing that I know of has occurred, but she's also a very how can I say this? She once said to me, yeah. She once said, like, I just want to be married. It's certain statements that you make to me, and I generally internalize certain things. Because if it's not that I want to meet the right person, I want to be in love, I want to feel whatever. No, when you say to me, I just want, that means at the minimum level. This is all you want is the minimum. I just means minimum. I just want to be married. So she found someone, and she knows she's a lot more worldly than him. And so I figured that they are happy because she can control him, right? So she don't have to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
She know he not cheating on her. She know he's not having any conversation. Like, she literally controls him, and she's happy. She's happy because of the man he's not. In my opinion.
Mm.
So, I mean, ooh, you know, that's my opinion, mine. He's not somebody that I would ever date because I talk a lot, and so I need somebody who, like, occasionally, baby, just listen. Hush. And listen. But I'm you know, I sit with me. He would not be that person. And he's not that person with her. So they don't have to fight. They don't have anything to fight over.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, women fight you for two reasons. They fight you because they want your attention, or they fight you because they don't.
I'll need your attention. Get the fuck out of here. Matter of fact, let's fight.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tired of your shit.
Right. They fight you to get you in, or to keep you in, or they fight you to keep you out. But that's, so she don't have to fight with him. And so, I mean, you know, but nobody ever told her, like, when her first ex got kicked out of college, who was my homeboy, like, I told her, I was like, bitch, I really almost listened. It was going to be a bad day. But he was like, well, nah, I'm already going home, so it don't matter. Okay, that's what it is. But she got to stay in school and live in the dorm and do all of the things that she aspired to do, and his life virtually had to be transferred and moved to somewhere else because nobody recognized that as a woman she was capable of having bad behavior, that she was capable of being an aggressor.
Mm. Where do we get off ascribing that degree of innocence to women sometimes in light of evidence to the contrary?
Where do we get off, or where do we start?
Well, I think that some of the narratives and some of the things that we accept as a part of society, as far as societal norms and whatnot, you know, as far as non-aggression, don't hit anybody. You know, no one should hit anybody. However, if a woman hits you, do this. It's never, if a man hits you, do this. There's no justification for it. But there are these things, there are these the kind of the double standards where that degree of deference is given, you know, to women for bad behavior that if exhibited by a man would result in much more dire consequences.
But I believe that is I believe it's the socialization that we have to keep societal norms normal for all of us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want to take the time. I was thinking about this when Mojave was talking about everything that occurred with Bill Cosby back in the day. Here we are 30, 40 years, 50 years later, sending him to prison for bad behavior that everybody was exhibiting back then. He's now he's literally been convicted because he lived longer than Sammy Davis Jr., longer than, you know, Frank Sinatra's and whoever else participated in the same type of bad behaviors as him, right? And so now we're applying the knowledge of societal normalization of what we should have been doing back then to people who were taking part in those behaviors, and now we're punishing them 50 years out because nobody back then thought it was a big deal, and now somebody today does. So I think we're at the awakening point of nobody should hit anybody. Women, this is not okay. Girls, this is not okay. Men, it's never been okay. But we're also, you know, still dealing with, I live in Texas. There are towns and cities in Texas in which they're okay with the rule of law, which is you can literally, legally still whoop your wife.
What?
Take her over your knee. And not in a sexually deviant way.
Law still exists in South Carolina, too.
I mean, you know, sodomy is still illegal in certain places.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's just homosexual sex. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So until we really push to change things, because here's the thing. Women, by and large, are being convicted of much more aggressive, heinous crimes. The number of women going to the penitentiary for assault in Texas is extremely high. So they are being convicted. But we also have to make it okay for a man to call the police without calling him soft or sissy or punk. So you don't get movement on one side without the other.
Good point.
Very true.
Good point.
Am I Harvey snoring? Harvey, you snoring?
No, I'm not snoring. What are you talking about? I'm right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, listen. Zed, can you tell because we all close out. Zed, can you tell us what's going on in the Pimpy Radio Universe for the rest of the week, sir?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with your host, Ms. VIP and the Pearl La Negra. Thursday night is a get down with J. Rob, the wise son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night's going to be Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. Saturday night is Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently with your host, yours truly, Poetic. Sunday night is the Inspiration Factory with Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, is the Soul Cafe with the CEO himself, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas, La Pearl La Negra, and yours truly, Poetic. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday for one of my hobby shows. I don't know what show you got going on. Fly Speak. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Fly Speak. Javi, back to you, bro.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So, listen, it's been a fantastic show. It goes as is. Shout out to everyone here on Worldcast. It's a happy new year. Look forward to doing more. We're going to plan out a good show. We're gonna have video treatment. It's gonna be great. We're gonna work on it. But round of applause, everybody who came here tonight, that's rocking with us, that came here for War Council. It's a stellar castle, and I advise you, if you're listening to this, follow all the people that you hear. They are all super dope, dynamic, functified people that really rock. You gotta learn and know these people. They are so dynamic and incredible, and I'm very thankful for having every single one of them here on War Council each and every time that we do it. So I love you all. There's nothing you can do about it. And shout out to thank you to Wendell, Joan, Van, Lisa Lutz, Angel Kim, Dawood, Blaze, Danielle, La Pearl, La Negra, and everybody else who was listening. Of course, the big boss man, Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet. This has been another incredible episode of War Council. Thank y'all for coming. God bless you. Good night. This show is going to self-destruct in 10. Love you guys. 9.
Love you.
2. Love y'all.
7.
Y'all have a
6. Y'all have a great night.
Y'all.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.